The Syrian rebels getting tougher on Iran and putting conditions on aid to Egypt. The Obama campaign has launched a preemptive strike on Romney's foreign policy in the form of a new TV ad.
Reckless, amateurish. That's what news media and fellow Republicans called Mitt Romney's gaffe-filled July tour of England, Israel, and Poland.
The president is in California today after a star-studded fundraiser last night in Los Angeles. Here's CNBC's Janet Kwok.
A line of some 6,000 fans snaked around the building. Stars like Stevie Wonder, Jennifer Hudson, and Katy Perry took the stage after the president made rallying remarks.
This is NBC News Radio. Britain's John Gurdon and Japan's Shinya Yamanaka have won the Nobel Prize in Medicine. The prize was awarded for the discovery that mature cells can be reprogrammed to become capable of affecting more than one organ or tissue. Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez has won re-election to another six-year term. Jerry Sandusky will be sentenced this week for molesting young boys. His attorney expects he will live out his life inside a Pennsylvania state prison. A House Intelligence Committee report is warning that China's two leading technology firms pose a national security threat, and U.S. companies should avoid doing business with them. Israel has struck targets in the Gaza Strip after rockets were fired at southern Israel by Palestinian militants, and the Reds have taken a 2-0 lead over the Giants. The Yankees beat the Orioles in Game 1 of the American League Series, and the 49ers have set a new NFL record, becoming the first team in history to run and pass for more than 300 yards in a single game. I'm Veronica Dela Cruz, NBC News Radio.
Nelvin, where's Shipley with my cost analysis?
She's homesick, Mr. Fernwell. I'll handle it.
Ooh.
Oh, no. Are you sick too, sir?
Nelvin, last time you did the cost analysis, it wasn't pretty. Call Bob from Accountemps.
Oh, I never get to do any of the important stuff.
Okay, you can do payroll.
Yes. What's that?
On second thought, Bob from Accountemps could handle payroll, too.
Bob.
Call Accountemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Accountemps, a Robert Half Company.
This is Charles Osgood. Every day, where do I see the independent spirit our country was founded on? In small business owners. We rely on them, and they rely on the UPS store. From packing and shipping to professional printing to mailbox services, small business owners get help from the UPS store. But perhaps the best thing they get is the feeling that they're not alone out there. And even for those with a strong independent streak, that's a rather reassuring feeling.
We love small business. We love logistics. To find the location near you, visit theupsstore.com.
You know how it goes, Black Friday. Shoppers line up earlier and earlier to hit the stores while the best deals are available. But it may be a fool's errand. It turns out Black Friday deals may not be all they're cracked up to be. An analysis for the Wall Street Journal by consumer price research firm Decide Incorporated finds prices of some select gift items actually rise as the shopping days tick down. And gifts from Barbie dolls to watches to blenders are often priced below Black Friday levels at various times throughout the year, even during the holiday season. And it's not so much saving money as it is making money for YouTube. That's why the Google video streaming site is expanding its original channel offerings worldwide. The company is spending hundreds of millions of dollars to pay celebrities and media companies to produce professional-grade content for the video website, just like it has been doing in the U.S. Wall Street may stumble this morning as stock futures fall without any economic reports this Columbus Day. S&P futures are in the red by 5 points. NASDAQ down 13, Dow falling 45. I'm Steve Potter. MarketWatch.com.
IBM System X x86 servers and a mid-sized company.
One company makes these, and another these. Different companies with one thing in common: IBM System X x86 servers. They're flexible, affordable, and high-performing, with the System X 3650 M4 delivering up to 84% improved performance over its previous generation system. So even if these companies are different, IBM can help both.
For more on IBM System X servers with Intel Xeon processors, go to ibm.com/systems/choice.
Parts Plus Auto Parts stores and car care centers invite you to enter the Let's Go to Hawaii sweepstakes. You can win an all-expense-paid trip for two to Hawaii to participate in football All-Star Weekend festivities. There are hundreds of other fabulous prizes as well, and there will be winners at every Parts Plus location. Get details and enter at any participating Parts Plus parts store or car care center. If you want to win a Hawaiian vacation, and if you want the best parts and service for your car, not just parts, Parts Plus. Enter today.
There are many debt relief plans and scams out there. So if you find yourself with $10,000 or more in credit card debt and you just want the facts about legitimate debt relief solutions available to you, then call American Credit Card Solutions for a free informational kit that will tell you about your options in simple, easy-to-understand terminology. The kit is free, the shipping is free, and there is absolutely no sales pitch, just the facts. Sent directly to you in the mail. This free informational kit can be mailed to you today so you can examine all the debt relief options available in the comfort of your home with no one pressuring you to make a quick decision. Call 800-912-1515 and ask for your free kit. That's 800-912-1515. This is a first-come, first-serve offer, and kits are limited. So call right now for your free debt informational kit. 800-912-1515. That's 800-912.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
2012 creates the promise of change.
But what kind of change? And what say do you have in that change?
2012 carries the promise of hope.
But is hope enough to usher change?
2012 can deliver us from the horror of the past.
But can you and will you commit to making the effort to move beyond words to action?
First Shift is ready to lead if you are ready to join us.
And if you are ready, then strap in.
Because from this point forward,
we will accept nothing but the path to victory.
And that path starts here.
And now,
First Shift
with Tony Trupiano.
Of October 2012. I hope you are all well. I hope you all had an empowering weekend. I hope you all put in a little time knocking doors or phone banking or talking to people about the importance of not just tomorrow, which is, of course, the last day to register to vote, but, of course, November 6th. And again, good morning to you. Tony Trupiano here. Pleasure to be with you. I had one jam-packed weekend. I'll briefly put out some thank yous and then come back around and talk more about it in a bit. But I want to thank my new friends at the Lapeer County Democratic Club for inviting me out to their 14th annual congressional dinner and fundraiser, an award ceremony. This past Saturday evening, I had an amazing time. They were gracious and wonderful hosts. Sat with my friend Roscoe Woods, the president of the American Postal Workers Union. And Mike Stone was also there, the political director at UAW Region 1, among many other people, including candidates and just good friends and neighbors from the Lapeer community. Had a great time. They certainly seem to enjoy the remarks I prepare for them and look forward to visiting with them again the next time they ask me out. I also want to thank Joe Black and all of the people involved with the Occupy the Vote event last night at the Redford Theater in Detroit. If you've never been there, it is one beautiful venue. Well organized, well done. We'll talk about that again a little bit later on in the show today, but thanks so much, Joe, and all of the people that were so gracious to me last evening. I don't know that I could have enjoyed myself any more than I did. All right, with that said, we have really a jam-packed show with some of the best guests you will find. In fact, I'll put my guest list on a daily basis up against anybody in this market, and I mean anybody in this market. Joining us in the 7 o'clock hour, although a week later than he normally does, State Representative Harvey Santana brings his own brand of legislating and, of course, nothing but pure, unadulterated truth to First Shift. He will be with us in the entire 7 o'clock hour. Michigan Democratic Party Chairman Mark Brewer in the 8 o'clock hour, as he is every Monday. A lot on his mind today. Blog roll. Yep, keep and roll. Chris Savage from Eclectablog with a great story to share with us. Then we'll have Thomas Volcho on. Thomas actually is the co-author of a study that looks at the 1%
and really what they need congressionally to make it work. Is it about the Congress or is it about the president? Well, you'll find that out. And last, and I got to tell you, certainly not least, is Dave Kirsten. Those of you that are active in politics know exactly who Dave is. He is running to fulfill the remainder of Thaddeus McCotter's congressional seat until the November 6th election. It's such an odd situation. Why would anybody stand up and take on what is basically going to be a six-week job? Well, we'll find out. But we'll find out with passion and purpose that Dave Kirsten's got the goods to do this and why you should vote for him. With all that said, sweet God, we got a lot to do. Let's punch in and get this going.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Drama. Our first word today is drama. Drama can work in many different directions. It can work to help. It can work to hurt. It can hurt to underscore or boldface. It can also work to tear something apart. Drama isn't always a good thing, and sometimes drama is orchestrated. Other times, and sadly, it's just part of somebody's DNA, whether we like it or not. You know, that's okay. We're good with that because, frankly, we don't control it, especially someone else's drama. But drama sometimes is a real-life enactment of something. Certainly the drama of the killing of Osama bin Laden would fall under a drama category, but only because of its scope and its profoundness. Or we could look at the drama of what has become the Romney-Ryan ticket. Everything they do seems to be full of drama, but not necessarily in the most positive direction. Sometimes, again, in its deliberateness, if you're deliberately trying to inject drama into something, as long as you know what you're doing, like TNT, like dynamite, in the wrong hands, of course, you're the only one that gets blown up. In the right hands, it can do wonderful things. Ray Mount Rushmore. Oh, folks, drama is really one of those things that, again, in the wrong hands can do terrible things. In the right hands can really do wonderful things. And so, oh my, if you perhaps, like everything else in this world, treat drama with moderation, well, you might accomplish something a little more profound than you would have without it. But be careful, like anything else, even too much cough medicine, well, even too much cough medicine, as good as it can be, can harm you. All right, today's first word is drama. And speaking of drama, let's cue up our first Tigers piece of audio and listen to get a little hint on what happened this weekend.
Oh, hey. Swing and a high, deep drive, and that's going to win it for the Detroit Tigers. Infante comes in to score, and the Tigers are going to Oakland up 2-0.
And there we go. I say good morning to Anthony. Before we talk football, Anthony, I got to tell you, what an exciting weekend for the Detroit Tigers. Good morning to you.
Oh, good morning. Who would have thought we would have been up 2-0 coming back today? Yesterday's game was just awesome. When they walked Fielder and they had Kelly come up, I was like, oh, man, it's over. I was just feeling a double play ball, and sure enough, he hit that fly ball out the center, and it was deep enough to score Infante.
Yeah, it was interesting, as I'm sure that, you know, I know you were watching, when Don Kelly did hit that ball, the outfielder, you could see his shoulders. I don't know if you noticed that. His shoulders just kind of sunk, like, there's nothing I can do. I just have to stand here and wait for the ball to get to me. It was really, really interesting. So Don Kelly ends up being the hero. Before we talk more about the game, go ahead and hit that next piece of audio, please.
I mean, the first pitch, he threw a pretty good slider, and I was just trying to look for a fastball to hit and was able to get one.
Saw you like take a deep breath in the batter's box. Did you?
You got to relax in that situation. I mean, it's with the game on the line, 45,000 people going nuts. I mean, you just have to try to relax, calm yourself down, and get a good pitch.
Do you embrace the moment like that?
Oh, you definitely do. If you know, those are the moments that you live for. That's why you play the game, you know, just to be out there and be able to help the team any way you can, and especially with the game on the line like that.
How reward?
rewarding is it to look back at your season, and you weren't here all year, but you stuck with this, and have a moment like this for yourself and your club?
That's been my whole career. Just keep on grinding it, battling it, and I was able to come through tonight.
And that's Don Kelly, who was able to come through, Anthony. You know, what was interesting is that inning was kind of playing itself out. You know, Infante's on, Cabrera hits a double, moves him to third. They walk Prince Fielder, which made total sense to me. I mean, that made total sense to me. And, yeah, you get a little nervous with Don Kelly coming up. Your brother Chris had come over for dinner last night, and he was saying, well, why would they, you know, or my mom actually asked me, why would they walk Prince Fielder? So I had to explain to her, and she, I don't think, quite understood it, but that's okay because, you know, the odds were actually with the Oakland A's with regard to Don Kelly hitting into a double play. There was one out at the time, effectively ending the inning. Just didn't work out the way they had hoped. And this was a game, Anthony, that was not without its own drama. Certainly errors played a factor on both sides of the ball. And before you know it, the Tigers are winning. And it's interesting, you listen to Don Kelly speak there, Anthony. You would have thought he hit a grand slam home run when all he did was hit a sacrifice fly. Of course, that sacrifice fly gives them a victory. So the excitement makes sense. But have you ever seen people get so excited over a over and out? It's pretty hyper.
Right. Only in the playoffs when you're winning, though.
Absolutely. And of course, had it gone the other way. I said there was controversy. We'll start it here, get to it on the other side. But relief pitcher Al Albuquerque did something that was, I don't know, unusual. What was it that he done that he did that got people a little, well, people on the other side of the field a little upset?
Oh, I thought you were leading up to it. No, he kissed the baseball. He had enough time to actually kiss the baseball after his last pitch and before he threw it to the first baseman, which I caught and I thought was very interesting.
It was very interesting. Many members of the Oakland A's wanted to comment, and not at all. The right fielder, Riddick, absolutely went berserk when they asked him about it. I mean, just railed on and on and on how unprofessional, immature. I mean, it was just crazy. So anyway, we'll come back. Of course, Michigan State played this weekend. We'll take a quick look back at that. The Lions were off. They'll be back next week. But in the meantime, we've got to get to our first break here on First Shift. 888-552-3595. Go get them, Tigers. We'll be back right after this. Thanks for punching in. This is WDTW.
First Shift with Tony Tribbiani.
If American voters are paying attention to Romney's trip, they can't be comforted by Mitt Romney's performance.
The Chicago Tribune quoted our old friend Rahm Emanuel saying, I don't know how he'll handle the head of state job. He's made a mess of being a tourist.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
It's still a problem-free commute just following construction. Let's head over to Michigan Avenue westbound. The ramps to 275 northbound and southbound are closed until November 17th. Road construction is reduced down to one lane on 12 Mile Road, both directions at Losser, and more construction on 9 Mile Road, both directions between Hagerty and Halstead. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 55. Tonight, a low of 40. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and 62, and it's currently 38 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills? The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending. You'll learn the order of service every server should know, speed pouring, drink recipes, customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan. Please call 313-962-5020 Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
From her first moments as mayor, Janice Daniels has repeatedly disrespected the city of Troy and its citizens. During her swearing-in ceremony, she blatantly refused to take the oath to uphold the city charter of Troy. Justifying her actions, Mayor Daniels declared the city charter to be a whimsical document. She embarrassed the city's proud history and those public servants who came before her. She further embarrassed the city of Troy and made national headlines with her derogatory and inexcusable comments targeted at homosexuals and the LGBT community, forever linking the city of Troy and its diverse population with this kind of intolerance. Her extreme agenda influenced her voting against expanded funding for the city library and the building of a federally funded transit center, ignoring a large bipartisan majority and the direct endorsement of Governor Rick Snyder and the wishes of the Troy Chamber of Commerce. She repeatedly used her deciding vote to ignore what was best for the city of Troy. And if Janice Daniels doesn't represent you, vote yes to recall her on November the 6th.
You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show.
Give us a call.
1-888-552-3595.
Welcome back to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
6:22 on this Monday morning. Again, thanks for punching in with us. Anthony, going back quickly to the Tigers game, they leave Detroit for Oakland last night, up 2-0. You know, it occurred to me, if you're the Oakland A's, you come into the city after having a pretty exciting end of your season, so there's, some exhaustion. I'll give them that. And then you play a night game, you turn around and then play an early afternoon game. The game started just after noon yesterday. But you got to understand, their internal clocks, it's 9 a.m., not 12 noon, because, frankly, they're West Coasters. So I'm not saying that that had anything to do with maybe Coco Crisp dropping a ball that was a difficult play to make to begin with, but certainly going into Oakland only having to win one of three, and if it, God forbid, gets to game five, knowing that Justin Verlander is the guy they'll have to pitch or that'll be pitching, you got to feel pretty good about our chances of going on to the championship series.
Oh, I mean, you have to feel good. I mean, we only got to get 1-3. And like I was saying on Friday, this kind of sucks for the division winner or the higher-seeded division winners, because you do have the chance to go 0-2 before you've even played a home game, which I thought is a little messed up, and I want to see how long they'll actually keep this 2-2 or 2-3 system.
Just this season. They've already announced They've already announced it's going to be this year only. Apparently, and I don't know this to be a fact, but apparently lots of people have expressed their displeasure with that new format. But the Major League Baseball did say that this would be a one-year-only experiment and that they would, of course, address it after the playoffs are over. But anyway, congratulations to the Detroit Tigers. Congratulations to the city of Detroit. Congratulations to Miguel Cabrera, who was 2-for-3 last night, I believe, yesterday afternoon. Certainly played extremely well, as did many others, and we'll look forward to the game tomorrow on television. All right, Anthony, Michigan and Michigan State played this weekend. Although Michigan State won, it took them 3.5 quarters before they finally figured out a team that is so bad they would have a tough time winning in the MIAA. What the hell is going on with Michigan State?
They got to find their identity. They got to find what they're good at, and they haven't found that yet.
I mean, you know, at one point, I think I called you in the third quarter, and I said, "Are you watching this game? Do you see this score?" And you said, "Well, I actually kind of turned it off." It was embarrassing. It was literally embarrassing to watch them play. Now, again, they got their stuff together. They did end up winning the game, but there was nothing comfortable, and they have nothing to be happy about. And I got to tell you, I don't think they end up being ranked again this week. And I don't know how long it's been. Oh, yeah, see, I don't know how long it's been since they've gone 2 weeks without being ranked. I think it's 2002 or 2005, something like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but they're not playing well, and they are not playing well. Yes, they won, but they don't look good. They certainly haven't been able to put a good game together, both offensively and defensively. And you know, let's be honest about it. Although Maxwell, the quarterback for Michigan State, has a lot of maturing to do, the defense gave up a lot of points on Saturday.
Yeah, they did. They didn't play like their name, and Maxwell finally had a good game, and the defense actually couldn't back him up. Figure that.
Yeah, well, that's that. Then we turn around, and Michigan-Purdue, and this was no contest. Michigan beats a very good Purdue team. Denard Robinson broke more records. He's now become the most productive quarterback in Big Ten history, and that's saying a whole lot, Anthony.
Oh, yeah, I mean, that's what happens when you stay 4 years and you're as great as him. It was great to see. And I think he's somewhere around fourth or fifth all-time in the NCAA history for the all-purpose yards.
Well, again, all-around fundamentally, unlike Michigan State, a very sound game. Now you got to wonder who shows up next week, because Michigan has been, if anything, inconsistent. And I don't know who's going to show up next week, but this is certainly the right way to start, to start a winning streak. This would be a good place to do it. If they can play like they did Saturday, the remainder of the season, they certainly have a chance to not only be in every game, but come close to winning them all, if not most of them. And certainly we'll have to wait and see what happens. But we're no longer holding our breath on Michigan State doing anything. Remember the hype, Anthony, before the season was Michigan State was the team to beat in that division. Not so much anymore, and we'll just let it play out the way it plays out and see what happens. Again, as I mentioned, the Lions had a bye this week. I kind of needed the emotional break. Got to hope, Anthony, they come out of the bye with perhaps Javid Best, by the way. I don't know if you saw the report yesterday, but he has some testing tomorrow, and if he passes those tests, he will be cleared to play ASAP. So let's keep our fingers crossed on that.
He won't be able to play to week 7, though, right?
Because
he has to sit out at least 6 weeks due to the they put him on the PUP list.
Oh, okay. I thought the 6 weeks included the preseason. So maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. So we'll just wait and see how all that plays out. But if you're a sports fan, it was a pretty good weekend, especially if you're a Tigers fan. You know, Anthony, one thing quickly, and I always get a little concerned about this. Let's say Detroit goes to Oakland tomorrow. They win that game. Now they've got to wait for their opponent to emerge. Isn't there some danger in resting too much and having too much time between series?
Yeah, I mean, there is, but, you know, you never know if it's going to affect the team or not. It's just different for every team and every season, and you know, you never know, because New York and Baltimore's only played one game so far.
Correct.
So it would be, if we're playing Tuesday, so it would probably not be till Thursday or Friday would be game one, right?
Depending on when the other series is settled. I mean, that could, if it goes to five games, then no, it would be much later than that.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, it could have an effect, but, I mean, we're going to be playing on the East Coast. It's not like we've got to travel back west again. It's going to be either Baltimore, New York, or Detroit, so.
And what the hell's going on with them putting the Tigers playoff game on the MLB network as opposed to having it on some kind of?
I don't know, but everybody was flipping out yesterday, and we were trying to go friend-to-friend house, trying to find somebody that had MLB network, and we finally found a house that we could all watch it at.
Well, you knew we did. You could have come over to ours.
Yeah, but I was already out.
Gotcha. Well, anyway, we did find it. Thank you, Anthony, because I texted him and said, Where are the Tigers at? He said 7:40, 7:30 or 7:40. It was 7:40, certainly. And I got it just in time. I was following the score on my phone. I just couldn't find the game. And the reason, Anthony, is when I was looking at the channel lineup, it didn't identify it as a game. It just said MLB something or other, but it didn't say that it was the game.
Do you know why they were on the MLB network?
I have no clue. I have no idea. I know that, you know, oftentimes when they do the playoffs, it's on TBS, and if there's a conflicting games, they put the other game on TNT, but they didn't do that yesterday. So I have no idea why, so we'll just have to wait and see. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll talk a little bit about my weekend. We got a ton of audio to get to. And once again, the Howley for Executive campaign is being disrespected by L. Brooks Patterson and his staff, who seem to be campaigning while being paid by the county. Is anybody keeping track of their time cards? Just asking the question. All right, let's take the break. If you'd like to join us, now's a great time to do it. 888-552-3595. First Shift continues after we do this on 1310 WDTW.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by McDonald's.
It's still a problem-free commute just following construction. Let's head over to Michigan Avenue westbound. The ramps to 275 northbound and southbound are closed until November 17th. Road construction is reduced down to one lane on 12 Mile Road, both directions at Losser, and more construction on 9 Mile Road, both directions between Hagerty and Halstead. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Monopoly is back at McDonald's with more fun than ever. Find game pieces on your faves like Big Mac and large fries. McDonald's, I'm loving it.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be partly cloudy and 55. Tonight, a low of 40. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and 62, and it's currently 38 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week. A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Hail, hail, the GOP gang's all here. So let us now welcome Representative Todd Akin back into the fold. Todd, the present Republican nominee for a Missouri U.S. Senate seat, was coldly cast aside by his own partisan flock just a few weeks ago because he's truly goofy. He's the legitimate rape guy who put forth a theory of voodoo science that would prevent even pregnant rape victims from being allowed abortions. If a woman endures a, quote, legitimate rape, explained this member of, believe it or not, the U.S. House Science Committee, her body would magically generate some sort of occult hormone that would prevent her from becoming pregnant. Thus, spake Todd, any woman who gets pregnant from an unwanted sexual encounter, even a violent one forced upon her, has not experienced a legitimate rape and must bear the rapist's child. Oh, cried every GOP politico from Mitt Romney to the county dog catcher, this is too weird even for us, so Todd must resign as our party's nominee, forthwith. Only, he didn't. And guess what? The moral purists who so loudly reviled Akin a few weeks ago are now hugging him, tucking campaign checks in his sordid coat pockets, and hoping he'll win so they, and he, can take over the U.S. Senate. What's a little rape compared to political expediency? But, whoops, Todd wasn't through with his goofiness binge. Now, a video has surfaced in which Mr. Legitimate Rape Man doubles as Mr. Legitimate Discrimination Man. Asked at a public meeting why a woman shouldn't get equal pay for doing the same work as a man, the guy who would be senator explains, on video, that free enterprise means that corporations are free to discriminate in what they pay women. This is Jim Hightower saying, keep talking, Todd. We're all listening.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to. For information, visit HightowerLowdown.org.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDTW.
35 minutes after 6 o'clock on this Monday morning. Well, as you can imagine, all the talk on the Sunday morning talk shows were about the debate and the news that was made during the debate. Mitt Romney. Liar, pants on fire. Oh, we've got so much to get to and so much to talk about. But certainly there, and we need to for just a moment, look at one of the pieces of information that came out late in the show on Friday, which was the unemployment numbers, or the employment numbers, if you will, the jobs numbers coming out at 7.8%, down from 8.1% month before that, 8.3%. Now, before I get to some audio, let me just share with you that the Republicans are now calling this, and some of them are, a conspiracy theory, which I found absolutely interesting. Why is it that every month when they report these numbers, it's okay, knowing full well these numbers are going to come out a month or less than a month before the election, and all of a sudden those numbers aren't okay? I mean, is it as simple as the numbers dropped too dramatically for the Republicans to be comfortable? Well, certainly the yes answer should be checked off. But ladies and gentlemen, oh my, the Republicans are just never happy. Chuck Todd, chief political director at NBC News and certainly a contributor to MSNBC. Well, he was on Meet the Press yesterday, and I'll let this speak for itself.
It's worth looking
at. I'm going to stop here because this is really making me crazy. The Federal Reserve gets questioned now for politics these days. The Supreme Court and John Roberts, because we have corroded what we're doing. We are corroding trust in our government in a way. And one-time responsible people are doing to control it. And the idea that Donald Trump and Jack Welch, rich people with crazy conspiracies, can get traction on this
is a bad trend.
And it is a bad trend, no question about it. It just blows my mind that when the conversation from the numbers come from an extreme nonpartisan, no political appointment, no political affiliation department, and it's questioned when the news is not what they want it to be, fill in the blank whoever you want them to be. I mean, it's not like the Democrats don't do it when the numbers don't go their way. The Romney campaign in and of itself has stayed above the fray with regard to any conspiracy theories, only really stating that 7.8% is still unacceptable. Folks, when they go to adjust these numbers, as they do every month, it's not something that's going to be new, you're going to find that more jobs were added to the rolls than originally thought. The numbers that was given out on Friday was a surveyed number between businesses and homes, and when the actual count is done, as it almost always is, will go up. So, and I don't mean the unemployment number will go up. I mean the number of jobs created will go up. All right, with that said, there's so much that came out of the debate on Wednesday. Robert Gibbs, the former press secretary to President Obama, currently a campaign spokesperson for the Obama campaign, discussed on ABC's This Week Romney's tax plan. This is what Robert Gibbs had to say.
So does the campaign now accept that the cuts will be less than $5 trillion?
No, absolutely not. I mean, look, if you're going to reduce the Bush tax rates by 20% in the estate tax, in the AMT, change the corporate rate and a whole host of other changes, that adds up in a reduction of revenue of $4.8 trillion. The question for Governor Romney is, what loopholes are you going to close, supposedly, to make up for that revenue? And if you don't close $4.8 trillion in those loopholes, two things happen. Either the deficit goes up, or more likely is the middle class is going to see their taxes go up and end up paying for his problems.
As you know, Robert, he's stating unequivocally that he will not push the tax cuts if they increase the deficit, and that he will not push them if they force tax increases in the middle class.
Well, then he has, then he's got no economic theory. Then he's walked away from 18 months of what this whole campaign's been about. But George, we've seen this movie before where people say, oh, don't worry, it's all going to get paid for, it's fine. When you ask him, what loopholes will you close specifically for wealthy earners to help pay for the $4.8 trillion in reduced revenue, there's no answer. I mean, let's be clear. Paul Ryan a week ago was asked about the math for this, and Paul Ryan said, look, the math takes too long. Well, Mitt Romney's solution is he just decided there wasn't math involved in this problem, and that's absolutely crazy. Look, the only thing he outlined that he would cut in the budget is Big Bird. You know, he's taken the battle straight to Sesame Street and let Wall Street run hog wild. It was a masterful theatrical performance. It was fundamentally dishonest for the American people. And let's be clear, if you're willing to say anything to get elected president, if you're willing to make up your positions and walk away from them, I think the American people have to understand, how can they trust you if you are elected president?
And that's a profoundly good point. Well, Chris Wallace on Fox News Sunday, not the same program that Robert Gibbs was on, but on Fox News Sunday, talks about the $5 trillion tax cut, and, well, I'll let it spin its own way. Hit it.
This debate, we saw Big Bird meet the big lie. In fact, when you do those sorts of tax cuts, there are costs to those tax cuts. The biggest driver of our deficits are those tax cuts.
But if I may, sir, you're talking about half the plan. It would be like talking about Obama's jobs plan and saying his entire plan for getting the country back is to give more money to teachers. And then saying, well, that's a ridiculous plan. Well, it's not Obama's plan. Similarly, you're mischaracterizing the Romney plan. You're saying it's... You're right. There's $5 trillion by lowering the tax rates, but he also talks about cutting loopholes and ending it. Well, that is part of the plan.
But he won't say, Chris, which loopholes and which deductions. Senator, I doubt very seriously you would be in favor of doing away or cutting the home mortgage deduction for middle-class Americans. Governor Romney has not said what his secret plan is for paying for these $5 trillion in tax cuts. Just like he won't talk about what his tax returns have been or how much money he's sheltering offshore.
With all due respect, Governor.
Let's finish on that, and then we will talk about the president's vision, Senator, because part of the problem is that I have asked Romney and Ryan repeatedly. I asked Ryan on this show last Sunday, I don't agree with you that it's a $5 trillion tax cut, but I said, where do you make up the $5 trillion from lowering tax rates in terms of the deductions and the loopholes? How do you make it up? They refuse to tell us, and independent experts say even if you took away all the deductions, it's not going to add up to $5 trillion.
And it's not going to add up to $5 trillion, ergo, Chris, it's a lie. How about that? Yeah, Big Bird got lots of attention this weekend. We're going to hear from Big Bird here in just a moment. But you know, listen, let's just be honest about it. Mitt Romney did give a masterful theatrical performance. We'll go back to our first word. It was drama at its, well, I wouldn't say finest, but it was drama nonetheless. We'll see. You know, we're going to have polling numbers later on this morning. We'll just see if the debate helped Romney. I'm going to suggest it did, to a insignificant margin, but I think that there was that. Let's hear Big Bird, who maybe was auditioning for something more, because if Mitt Romney is elected, Big Bird's going to be out of a job. This is what he had to say on Saturday Night Live.
During the presidential debate Wednesday night, Governor Mitt Romney said he would end the subsidy to PBS, adding, I like PBS, I like Big Bird. Hear now to comment, Big Bird. Big Bird.
Well, thanks for having me, Mr. Myers.
Why are you yawning? Are you bored already?
No, no. It's just like it's 7 hours past my bedtime.
Okay, yeah. I should have thought of that. So, Big Bird, so how did you find out that your name had been mentioned in the debate?
Oh, I got a million tweets.
Okay. So you're on Twitter?
No, I'm a bird. Tweeting is how we talk.
Okay, yeah.
What's a Twitter?
Oh, kind of like hard to explain. I wouldn't know how to go about it.
Oh, well, I'm just kidding. I know what a Twitter is.
Okay.
Sesame Street has Wi-Fi.
Oh, well, big deal. So Big Bird, has being mentioned in the debate affected you at all?
Oh, it has. I feel like I'm famous now. I was walking down the street the other day, and I felt like everybody recognized me.
Okay.
It's so weird to think that just a few days ago, I could just blend in like every other perfectly normal 8-foot-tall talking bird.
Oh, yeah, that is weird. That must be very hard for you. So, before you go, do you have any political statement you'd like to make?
No, I don't want to ruffle any feathers. But I do have a political joke. May I tell it?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. You're going to laugh. This is funny.
Okay, good. Okay, wait.
You know who loves debates?
Who?
The fishes.
Oh, yeah.
Because yeah, the fish eat baits.
Yeah, no, I get it.
It's a thinker.
It is a thinker. Big Bird, everyone.
There you go. Big Bird, everyone. And just a little levity. Just a little levity this morning. Big Bird, I'm sure you'll find a job somewhere. God forbid Mitt Romney's elected. You know, it's so odd because I watch online reaction to certain things, and who would have thought that Big Bird would get such a big reaction, but it certainly has. By the way, before we get to the break, and when we come back, we're going to get to the phones and talk about some other things. Our Facebook First Shift poll question of the day is getting a lot of attention, and the reason is really quite interesting. As I know many of you are aware, Kid Rock, who is more popular than I'll ever understand, has agreed to introduce Paul Ryan today at Oakland University. The poll question is, does Kid Rock's support of the Romney-Ryan ticket change your perception of the guy? The options are available on the First Shift page. And by a score of 7-1, people are saying, yeah, it changes the perception for the worse. You decide for yourself. Charles in Detroit's up next. Let's take a quick break. First Shift continues after this.
Got a question or comment? Call now. 888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310
WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together. Until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members. A place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members.
Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen. Be heard. Take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
We want to hear from you.
Interact with First Shift.
Find our First Shift with Tony Trupiano Facebook page.
Tweet us at Tony, T-R-U-P-I-A-N-O. Or call us now. 1-888-552-3595.
Now, back to the show and Tony.
10 minutes before 7 o'clock as we get warmed up for Harvey Santana. But before we do that, let's go to the phones. We just gave you the numbers. So we welcome Charles in Detroit to First Shift. Charles, good morning. Thanks for punching in today.
Good morning, Tony.
How are you, my friend?
Yeah. All right. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. What's on your mind?
Oh, well, you know, you mentioned the drama of Romney's performance. I think, you know, we can say specifically fiction. You know, a story, a good story, as they say. But in politics, I think that L word is a no-no. You know, let he was not lied cast the first stone, but Romney's really putting out some whoppers.
Absolutely. And, you know, Charles, there's no question that, you know, what I was not necessarily hoping, but what I like to have happened is what happened. They've certainly made sure that we know he wasn't telling the truth.
Yes. And you remember the night, the day after the debate, I mentioned that $5 trillion hole that Obama harped upon, and you were your clips or your news clips earlier were on that, Gibbs and all that, and you know their math doesn't add up, and it's a discussion of the economy, and the economy is numbers, and their math doesn't add up.
Absolutely. Well, Charles, I thank you for your call, by the way. You're 100% right. Not only does the math not add up, most of what Mitt Romney says doesn't add up. It's all been fact-checked. It's all been, you know, at this point, we know that the vast majority, even Newt Gingrich admitted yesterday that Mitt Romney lied during the debates. Thanks, buddy, for your call. I appreciate it.
I hope the Dems can win the House and the Senate. We got to get that House and Senate. All
absolutely.
Right.
Got to keep fighting the good fight. 888-552-3595. Dave in Redford joins us now. Dave, good morning. What's on your mind?
Hi, Tony.
Good morning.
Hey, I'd like to stipulate that Romney obviously has not been clear about which deductions. But one thing that is almost never mentioned, even though Romney did bring it up a bunch of times, is growth in the economy. It's not a static equation. It is a dynamic equation. And then lastly, Obama's tax plan of increasing taxes on the rich will not cover 1 year's deficit. In fact, I think it's about 10% of the deficit of what it'll cover. It's that, like $70 billion.
All right. Well, I don't disagree with you.
It's not specific at all.
No, I mean, everything you've said is true. You know, we can talk about the $4 trillion promise that Obama made, and we don't quite know how he – Dave, let me finish. We don't quite know how we get to $4 trillion. We don't. Certainly, it's not going to all happen by cutting defense spending. It's not going to all happen by raising taxes on the top 5% of earners in this country. That is true, Dave. It would be disingenuous of me to say that that's not true. But – certainly, the president has been a little more forthcoming with information than Governor Romney. And my concern, Dave, is that when you get answers like Paul Ryan's, it's too complicated to explain, or I don't have enough time. if you don't have enough time to explain something, and let's be honest about it, Dave, this is not stuff most people will even comprehend. And let's really be honest about it. None of this happens without Congress agreeing to it. So I don't care what the president's plan is. I don't care what Romney's plan is. If we can't get Congress to agree to it, it doesn't happen anyway.
Oh, well, most certainly. And, I mean, but just you're decrying the lack of specifics from Mitt Romney. This is a presidential race. I mean, frankly, you know, every race I've ever watched since I've been watching, they never give specifics.
No. That's not true. Dave, thanks for your call, but that's not true. No, those specifics are always a part of the program. And I can't justify Mitt Romney's. The reason I don't tell is because I don't want them to then, you know, attack me for what I'm going to do. In fact, he said last week, if I don't tell them they attack me, if I do tell them they attack me, well, welcome to politics, Governor. I mean, sweet God, that's the way it works. You don't think that's happening to the president? You attack him for everything he does, Mitt. That's just, I mean, it's ridiculous to think that you're just going to get a free pass on this stuff. One more piece of audio before we wrap up this hour. David Axelrod, who is, of course, a chief manager of the reelect Obama campaign. Oh, okay. You're right. It's 3 minutes long, so I guess we can't get to it. We'll get to it a little bit later on. So we'll bypass that for now. But we do have enough time for me to bring this up. Kevin Holley, who is a frequent guest on this program, is running for Oakland County Executive, has been told once again, or has been disrespected once again, by the Patterson campaign. I got to tell you, what's beginning to concern me is that Brooks Patterson isn't even the one insulting Kevin Holley. It's his staff who is seemingly doing this on their during their work hours, which means they're getting paid taxpayer dollars to criticize the candidate, Kevin Holley. Here's the problem. And let me just briefly set this up. Kevin Holley has a partner. They have a couple children together. His partner's name is on their house. So the Patterson campaign, not Patterson himself, says that Kevin Holley doesn't really understand the plight of the county because he doesn't even own a home. Well, he does. His name just doesn't happen to be on the title because we live in a homophobic state that doesn't allow people to legally do things like put both names on a mortgage after that mortgage has already been secured. It's as much his house as it is his partner's. Maybe it is homophobia. Maybe they didn't realize the candidate was gay. Kevin certainly doesn't hide it, nor should he. He's raising a beautiful family. He loves his partner very much. His partner loves him very much. These are good things. But again, it just shows how out of touch the Patterson campaign is, not just in this particular fight, but how out of touch they are in general to the plight of not only those in Oakland County, but in the state and in the country. Shame on you, Brooks, for allowing your staff on county time to respond to things that you should be responding. I don't know how to tell you this, Brooks, but the umpire the emperor doesn't have clothes on, buddy. I just don't get why you continue to do nothing but ignore Kevin Holley. He's not going away. And Brooks, if you're not careful, if you don't wake up soon, you may lose this race. And you can scoff at that if you want. And of course, many of you on the right think so this is just going to be a cakewalk for Brooks Patterson. You better think again. I don't know what's going to happen when endorsements come out, but you know what? Endorsements don't vote. So whether Kevin gets an endorsement or doesn't get a newspaper endorsement really doesn't matter to me. What does is that he continues to run an honest and righteous campaign. Brooks, you should try it sometime. All right, let's take a quick break. State Rep. Harvey Santana in wait, looking forward to getting him on. This is First Shift. We'll take a break for the top of the hour and be back right after we do this.
Teen 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch. This traffic report is brought to you by Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
Checking your traffic, we just picked up a problem on 96 eastbound in the express lanes right at Greenfield. A disabled vehicle is blocking the right shoulder and is partially blocking your right lane. We got some slow traffic on 94 westbound between Little Mac and 12 Mile Road, and it's slow moving on 696 westbound between DeQuinder and 75. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet's Great Steak Pledge just got even greater. For a limited time, Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet is serving its thick-cut Rancher's Select Sirloin for just $9.99 every night. Come in tonight for a great steak dinner at a great low price. Only at Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be partly cloudy and 55. Tonight, a low of 40. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and 62, and it's currently 38 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Hey, it's Joe. You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 AM WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. NBC News is up next.
NBC News Radio, I'm Chris Jansing. Mitt Romney ready to flex his foreign policy muscles today. He'll paint President Obama as a weak leader in a speech at Virginia Military Institute. NBC's Tracy Potts.
Mitt Romney gives a big foreign policy speech in Virginia today, but since last week's debate, which Romney's widely regarded as having won, both sides argued the other was dishonest.
The Obama campaign releasing an ad that portrays Romney as reckless and amateurish on foreign policy. This year's Nobel Prize in Medicine just awarded to British and Japanese researchers for their work in developmental physiology. SpaceX has done it again. The private space company launching another Dragon cargo capsule bound for the International Space Station. This one carries 1,000 pounds of gear, clothing, and food, including ice cream. And Taken 2 has taken the box office by storm. The Liam Neeson thriller taking in more than $50 million over the weekend. Hotel Transylvania falling to second place. This is NBC News Radio. Feels like October out there. After a summer of record-breaking heat, much of the nation is dealing with a cold snap. The Weather Channel's Julie Martin.
A lot of very cool air plunging across the Midwest. More unsettled weather late week. Rain and some mountain snow possible in the Northeast on Friday. So fall is here, and so is an early taste of winter.
California Governor Jerry Brown wants to drive down the price at the pump, where motorists are paying record-breaking prices. Brown wants winter blend gasoline to be sold now instead of later this month. Statewide average there, 465 for regular. On Wall Street, stocks are coming off a winning week that saw the Dow gain 173 points. Stock futures are lower, though. And if you celebrated a birthday last Friday, you've got plenty of company. Stats show October 5th is the most common birthday in the U.S. Researchers say that means a lot of couples get busy right around the winter holidays, and we don't mean busy shopping, of course. I'm Chris Jansing, NBC News Radio.
Gentlemen, where's Shipley with my cost analysis?
She's homesick, Mr. Fernwell. I'll handle it.
Ooh.
Oh, no. Were you sick, too, sir?
Gentlemen, last time you did the cost analysis, it wasn't pretty. Call Bob from Accountemps.
Oh, I never get to do any of the important stuff.
Okay, you can do payroll.
Yes. What's that?
And second thought, Bob from Accountemps could handle payroll, too.
Bob.
Call Accountemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Accountemps, a Robert Half Company.
In the nation, trees fall, traffic lights fail, ceilings come down, and brakes lock up. And when the you-know-what hits the fan, Nationwide Insurance hits the ground running. Because you're not just our first priority, you're our only priority. We put members first because we don't have shareholders. Call 1-877-NATIONWIDE today.
Nationwide is on your side.
Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio, subject to underwriting guidelines, review, and approval.
YouTube has been trying to lure TV viewers to the site for the past year with its program of specialized channels with professionally produced content. Now the Google-owned site is taking it to the rest of the world, planning 60 new channels geared towards Germany, Britain, and France. The company is spending hundreds of millions of dollars to get entertainers and others to sign on. It is seen as an investment, as Citigroup estimates YouTube will generate $3.6 billion in revenue this year, up 50% from last year. And it turns out Black Friday shopping, the rush may be a big waste of time. The Wall Street Journal says consumer spending research firm Decide Inc. has found that over the last 6 years, Black Friday deals are not always the best when it comes to price. Many gift items get a lot cheaper as the holidays get closer, and sometimes there are even better prices than Black Friday other times during the year. Wall Street is trading this Columbus Day, and we may see some red ink in the early going. S&P futures are down about 5.5 points, NASDAQ down 15. I'm Steve Potusk in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
IBM System X x86 servers and a mid-size company.
One company makes these, and another these. Different companies with one thing in common, IBM System X x86 servers. They're flexible, affordable, and high-performing, with the System X 3650 M4 delivering up to 84% improved performance over its previous generation system. So even if these companies are different, IBM can help both.
For more on IBM System X servers with Intel Xeon processors, go to ibm.com/systems/choice.
Parts Plus Auto Parts stores and car care centers invite you to enter the Let's Go to Hawaii sweepstakes. You can win an all-expense-paid trip for two to Hawaii to participate in football All-Star Weekend festivities. There are hundreds of other fabulous prizes as well, and there will be winners at every Parts Plus location. Get details and enter at any participating Parts Plus parts store or car care center. If you want to win a Hawaiian vacation, and if you want the best parts and service for your car, not just parts, Parts Plus. Enter today.
Newman, where's Shipley with my cost analysis?
She's homesick, Mr. Fernwell. I'll handle it.
Ooh.
Oh, no, were you sick too, sir?
Newman, last time you did the cost analysis, it wasn't pretty. Call Bob from Account Temps.
Oh, I never get to do any of the important stuff.
Okay, you can do payroll.
Yes. What's that?
On second thought, Bob from Account Temps could handle payroll, too.
Bob.
Call Account Temps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Account Temps, a Robert Half Company.
This is Charles Osgood. Every day, where do I see the independent spirit our country was founded on? In small business owners. We rely on them, and they rely on the UPS store. From packing and shipping to professional printing to mailbox services, small business owners get help from the UPS store. But perhaps the best thing they get is the feeling that they're not alone out there. And even for those with a strong independent streak, that's a rather reassuring feeling.
We love small business. We love logistics. To find the location near you, visit the UPS store.
It's the same each time with progress. First, they ignore you.
Then they say you're mad.
Then dangerous. Then there's a pause. And then you can't find anyone who disagrees with you. Welcome to your new reality. Welcome to your new opportunity. Welcome to your new hope. Welcome to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back, if indeed that's the case. 6 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Monday, the 8th day of October 2012. And from this point on, you really don't want to miss anything because, of course, we've got an hour of State Rep. Harvey Santana, Mark Brewer, Chris Savage, Thomas Volcho, and Dave Kirsten, who I'm excited to introduce you to at 9:30. So there is a lot to get to and a lot to do. I want to remind you that if you'd like to join us at this or any hour of the show, you just need to be topical. If we're talking about it, you're welcome to join the conversation. Or as somebody said to me on Saturday evening when I was in Lapeer, I found out when I was a guest on your show, the one sentence you dread is, we've got a caller. Come on, it's not that bad. 888-552-3595. Gentlemen, give me an introduction and let's get this thing going.
Uncommon in his approach and starkly honest in his words.
Chairman Daly on the House floor says, look, you got to be careful what you say. So what the hell are you talking about? Says some people took offense to your comments. I says, look, I raise issues.
First Shift welcomes back to our airwaves legislative leadership that is unique.
I'm not going to back down. If I see something wrong, I'm going to say it because that's what the people of the 10th District sent me up there to do.
From the 10th District, State Representative Harvey Santana.
And we do welcome back to First Shift. We're going to have to change that open because you're going to go to the 9th District, right?
Yeah, 9th District.
We got time yet. We'll get it right. Harvey, first of all, I want to thank you for coming back. Last week you were in D.C., which is what we're going to talk about first, so I appreciate you making some time for us today. I think the audience gets a little anxious when you don't show up, so it is good to have you here, and we got a lot to get to today.
Yeah.
So let's Let's start. Last Monday, you weren't here because you were at a conference in Washington, D.C. Tell us a little bit about that conference. You also brought a guest with you, which I thought was great.
Yeah, it's the National Association of Latino Elected Officials. And so what ends up happening is they invited me. They gave myself and Representative Grimal scholarships to go down for 3 days and learn about the state of Latino education in the United States. And it's very intensive stuff. I mean, it's not the kind of conference where you go, you sign in, then you go see the sites. You go, you sit down, they take attendance, and they make sure that you're in there. And as you can probably expect, I asked a lot of questions, and I pushed the conversations a lot, and Tim jumped in and did a great job. And I took Tim with me because, you know, he represents the city of Pontiac, which has a large population of Hispanics, and so I wanted him to benefit from that. So it was interesting because what you find out, you know, being Hispanic, being Puerto Rican, I wear kind of two hats as a legislator. I represent the 10th district, soon to become the 9th, but when I'm called by his Hispanic community to go and give a speech or, you know, do some mentoring, I go because they view me as someone that they need to highlight to show Hispanic youth of what is possible in America. And it's interesting because enter politics. What we have now is a situation where the Hispanic community is growing and it's projected to be the largest ethnic group in the United States by 2025.
Right.
And with that comes, you know, challenges, because although our population is going to grow in size, you have the Anglo community that is going to grow smaller. The African-American community is projected to stay stagnant in its growth. But by the same token, you put some other variables in there. We're still low in educational attainment rate. We're still high in poverty. We're still high in unemployment. And when it comes to health disparities, we're still, you know, number one. And so what I would say to the Hispanic community out there is that we really need to figure out what the challenges are and how to address those challenges moving forward. Now, enter politics. I find it interesting that the Republicans today are doing everything they can to suppress your vote. They're doing everything they can to keep you out the country. They're doing everything they can to tell you, you're not one of us. But in 15 years, when they realize we have to change the base of our party because it's no longer what it once was, they're going to come and ask you to become a member and sell you on opportunity.
You know, it's interesting, Harvey. I was listening as I was driving around this week. I was listening to a radio show, and they were talking about, you know, at this point, 5% of the population is Hispanic, which is a huge chunk. People don't understand how big 5% is. Yet only 1% of our electeds are of Hispanic origin. There are, I forgot how many Hispanics that are running, but 70% of the Hispanics that are running in this November 6th election nationwide, whether that be at the local, state, or federal level, 70% of them are projected to easily win their seats, and it may be as high as 90% before it's all said and done. It's not because they're getting Hispanics out to vote. It's because they've been able to successfully show their leadership abilities. I mean, that's the way they broke it down. It wasn't just because they're Hispanics and Hispanics are voting. In fact, it just so happened I read an article on Friday afternoon that one of the, although I think it was 80 to 20% of Hispanics support Barack Obama, not 80% of registered Hispanics will go out and vote. So getting them out to vote is a challenge. That's ultimately good news for that community, though, because we are electing more Hispanics. We need to elect more Hispanics, and for just a very fundamental reason. We need our representatives to represent what our communities actually look like. Hispanics have been very successful in on that upward trajectory to do just that. This has nothing to do with ethnicity. It just has to do with what's right.
Well, you know, it's interesting. When you look at Michigan, you look at the state house specifically, the Hispanics that had been elected to the Michigan legislature, Baldy Garcia was a representative and then became a senator, Republican, in a non-Hispanic district. It was 95% white, okay? Baldy Garza from Southwest Detroit, obviously it's a Hispanic enclave. But if you look at John Espinoza, Lee Gonzalez, myself, Bruce Rendon, who's Republican, who represents the northern part of Michigan, all non-Hispanic districts. So, you know,
it kind of proves the point that this article made.
Well, and what it also does is it proves several points. One, you don't have to be Hispanic and run in a Hispanic area in order to represent. And it just shows how open our society really is, in terms of its willingness to accept people. What I find dreadful is that from the top down, they try to suppress and say that, no, you stay over there and you stay over here and this is how the world's going to be.
Yeah, but you're Harvey Santana. You don't stand over anywhere.
No, I use C4 and blow my way in.
I understand that. It's interesting. I happened to see the Representative Grimal on Thursday evening, and he walked away from that conference almost kind of like a Moses moment. He said he looks at everything much differently on the other side of that conference, which tells me that something profound happened there. I don't know what it is. You know, we were in a social setting, really didn't have a chance to articulate that. Maybe I'll get him on to talk about just that. But it is important to understand your constituency, which is an argument that you've made from day one. And even when you, quote unquote, got in trouble with your party and Hamill went to, Jace Bolger and said, we need to bitch slap Harvey down a little bit. You said, wait a minute. Whether it was the lighting bill, whether it was representing your district, it doesn't matter. You're there to represent the people of your district, and however that has to manifest itself, you're going to step up and take care of it.
Absolutely. And, it's interesting because I saw something over the weekend that really had an impact on me. I'm going to share something with you because, you know, I, like Tim, we think globally and then we think locally because you can't separate the two. I'm going to give you some quick factoids and then this will end up. Are we up against a break?
We got a little bit over
a
minute.
Listen to this. 1 billion people tonight will go to bed hungry in the world. Half the world's people live on less than $2 a day. 1 billion on less than $1 a day. 1 billion people won't get a clean glass of water today or any other lifetime in their future. 1 in 4 people will die today as a result of AIDS, TB, malaria, or some other infectious disease. Now, here in the United States, people don't die of those things unless your AIDS medication stops working and you don't adhere to the regime that your doctor has given you.
Right, whatever protocol they give you.
Right, so, you know, I saw somebody once say, you know, it takes a village to raise a child. Well, I started asking myself the question, what does a village even look like? So I spent hours on the internet. And you know what I found out? Somebody already answered that question, Tony. A doctor, Philip Harder, a medical doctor from Stanford University, asked the question, what if we took 6.5 billion people and condensed it to 100 people in a village? What would that village look like? Here are the results. This is great. 57 would be Asian, 88 would be European, 14 would be from the Western Hemisphere, 21 would be African, 52 would be female, 48 would be male, 70 would be non-white, 30 would be white, 70 would be non-Christian, 30 would be Christian, 89 would be heterosexual, 11 would be homosexual. 80 would live in substandard housing. There would be no safe drinking water, no doctor, no nurse, no dentist, no hospital, no clinic, or school. There would be no electricity, no safe drinking water, no paved road, no common language amongst them. 70 would be unable to read. 50 would suffer from malnutrition. 1 would be near death. 1 would be pregnant. 1 would have a college education. 1 would own a computer. There would be 1 television. The entire food supply would be dependent entirely upon outside sources. 6 people would possess 59% of the world's wealth. Those 6 would all be from the United States. The average person in that village would be a 13-year-old Asian girl.
Wow.
Now, Tony, the question I have, and
you're going to hold that.
The question I have. Oh, go ahead.
You're going to hold it.
Go ahead.
We're going to keep him in suspense, Harvey. State Representative Harvey Santana. Now I got it. Don't tell me during the break. I want to wait. State Representative Harvey Santana, 888-552-3595. That was amazing. We'll answer the question and do a lot more after we do this in 1310 WDTW.
First Chip with Tony Trivia.
My point is to Republican adults, when 14-year-old boys sound exactly like you do, maybe you should rethink the shit that's coming out of your mouth.
On 1310 WDTW.
No wonder 14-year-old boys can do your act. You act exactly like 14-year-old boys.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Checking your traffic, we just picked up a problem on 96 eastbound in the express lanes right at Greenfield. A disabled vehicle is blocking the right shoulder and is partially blocking your right lane. We got some slow traffic on 94 westbound between Little Mac and 12 Mile Road, and it's slow moving on 696 westbound between DeQuinder and 75. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be partly cloudy and 55. Tonight, a low of 40. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and 62, and it's currently 38 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
From her first moments as mayor, Janice Daniels has repeatedly disrespected the city of Troy and its citizens. During her swearing-in ceremony, she blatantly refused to take the oath to uphold the city charter of Troy. Justifying her actions, Mayor Daniels declared the city charter to be a whimsical document. She embarrassed the city's proud history and those public servants who came before her. She further embarrassed the city of Troy and made national headlines with her derogatory and inexcusable comments targeted at homosexuals and the LGBT community, forever linking the city of Troy and its diverse population with this kind of intolerance. Her extreme agenda influenced her voting against expanded funding for the city library and the building of a federally funded transit center, ignoring a large bipartisan majority and the direct endorsement of Governor Rick Snyder and the wishes of the Troy Chamber of Commerce. She repeatedly used her deciding vote to ignore what was best for the city of Troy. And if Janice Daniels doesn't represent you, vote yes to recall her on November the 6th.
First Shift with Tony Triano.
My guests are the three candidates that are endorsed by the Michigan Democratic Party for the Michigan Supreme Court. What do you think about three women being endorsed by a major political party?
I think it's really exciting, Tony. We've tried to figure out if there are other examples of it, you know, historically, and we don't know of any. We don't know of any other time that there have been three women candidates running for a state Supreme Court. So it's kind of an historic ticket, and women make up more and more of law school graduates now in our classes. I have more women each year, and they're breaking all kinds of barriers in the legal system. That doesn't mean, of course, that because we're women, we will, you know, rule differently. We all follow the rule of law, but I think it's a moment for Michigan to be proud of this ticket. I like it when three women are the right men for the job.
On 1310 WDTW.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Tony and the crew are punching back in and looking to hear from you.
1-888-552-3595.
Tell us what's on your mind. Now, here's First Shift and Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. It is 22 minutes after 7 o'clock. State Representative Harvey Santana is in the studio. You were about to ask the big question. Fascinating facts, by the way. This is all we talked about during the break. All right, you wanted to pose the question. So what's the question you want to pose to us today?
Are we, as a society, are we prepared today to raise that 13-year-old Asian girl? Or that 13-year-old African-American girl? Wow. Or that 13-year-old boy, that's out there.
Are we prepared?
Are we prepared?
Are we willing?
And that's the other part of the question.
Questions, right?
Are we prepared and are we willing to create an environment for those young people today to grow into productive human beings later on in the future? In this village we call Detroit, in this village we call the state of Michigan, in this village we call the United States of America, in this rock we call planet Earth. Are we prepared and are we willing to do what needs to be done to prepare the environment for those people to grow? Because when I look at those numbers, and when I look at breaking down 6.5 billion people into 100 people and what that village would look like, what is so striking to me is when I looked at the infrastructure part, where there is no safe drinking water, no
paved roads,
80 people are in substandard housing. Tony, we have places like that here in America.
We have places like that within the sound of our voices right now.
That's absolutely correct. And that's shameful. That is shameful. And so, you know, this enters the conversation we're going to have in this hour about what's going to happen after November. There's going to be another election, the election that most people aren't going to be a part of, but people like myself and Tim Grimo and others are going to be a part of. And that is for who's going to be in charge of the Democratic caucus in the House.
All right, we're going to come back to that. Let me stick with this conversation for just a moment, because are we prepared to do it? I think we are prepared to do it. Are we willing to do it? And the answer to that question has to be no. But I want to make this point. 20% of the people in the United States go to bed hungry every night. 20%, which is a huge number. But we also know that we throw food away in this country.
Oh,
God. We have more than enough food to feed everybody in this country and probably send enough out to feed at least another 20 or 30% of the world that is starving to death. So are we prepared to do it? Yes. But why aren't we willing to do it? Is that a political question? Is that a religious question? I don't know how to answer that, Harvey. I mean, I'm really stumped on this one.
Look, you're stumped. I'm shocked because, you know, in my position, I get to go to a lot of events. And there are events, Tony, I swear to you, where they bring out so much food that there's just no way anyone at that table, and it's a table of 8 or it's a table of 10, there's no way 50 people can consume all of the food that they bring to your table. And you look around at everybody, and if, you know, you're from any type of depressed kind of background, you're looking and saying, they're wasting a lot of food here.
Yeah.
You know, this food can actually go to someone that needs it, you know, out there in the street who's suffering right now. What are you going to do with all this food? It gets tossed away. I mean, me and my wife went to an event this weekend, and it was the same way. And I just said, oh, dear God, I just had a little morsel here and there. And there was just this big plate of sauces, this other big plate of salad and pasta. I'm like, I can't eat all of that.
You know, it's interesting very quickly, and we could probably stay on this topic for the whole hour. But I'll move on. Let me just make this point. There was a television program I was watching not that long ago, and it was a reality type show where they sent chefs literally they did do some dumpster diving, but what they did is they went to packing houses and warehouse clubs, and they did go to some dumpsters, and they took the food that was being thrown away. And they had this big star-studded event where they fed the people all this food that was supposedly bad. I'm talking meat, produce. Now, it did have to pass inspection. They weren't, they weren't going to make people sick. The point is, the food was tagged to be thrown away. They fed these 150, 200 celebrities and big shots and politicians. And, you know, everybody, the food was amazing. When they told them where the food came from to make the point that it was all tagged to be destroyed, they were all stunned that that could happen. Harvey, we can do it better.
Oh, God. There's so much that we can do better. And, you know, that's our goal as elected officials. You know, Tony, no one has asked me, Harvey, go out there and do great things. What people have asked me to do is to use great caution with the responsibility that they've given me for 24 months at a time.
Nicely said.
That's the job that we all have as legislators. And, you know, every decision we make, you know, you have to have careful consideration of the facts and careful consideration of the end goal and how that goes towards improving the lives of people. That's the job we have.
You know, I've got to ask you this question. As you look back at almost your first 2 years, and certainly your reassured reelection, so it's not like we have to hide behind that, but, you know, from that romantic, when you decided to run, does this look anything like, the reality of it look anything like you romanticized or dramatized it would? Or has this really been a very different experience? I'm talking about being a representative than you thought it might be.
Yes and no. In terms of what I wanted to do with the position and in respects to constantly staying in the community, yes. I mean, I control that. I can control how much I want to be in the community and how much I don't want to be in the community. I choose to be accountable and go to all the community meetings, go to as many events as I can, still leave a love room in there for my family, you know, and I, to enjoy each other. So from that aspect, it's worked out very well. From the aspect of politics, I got to be honest with you, Tony, I was blinded by my idealism. I thought that we were going to be able to go in there, and despite the partisanship, I thought we were going to be able to work together. But I've never seen an environment where you're just getting steamrolled, and the Republicans have never asked our opinions on anything. They just do what they want to do, and you better like it.
Well, and we're going to wait till after the break to talk about leadership, and we got plenty of time to do that. We're going to talk about that after the break. The reason I ask you that question, as you had said something just a moment ago about doing great things, I think you are, Harvey, in your own way, doing great things. I think oftentimes, I don't mean to embarrass you, I just think oftentimes you're misunderstood. I think that you're a very real person, and I think your frustrations are just a little more public than perhaps some of your colleagues are. It's not like they don't all feel the way you feel. They just don't manifest it in the same way you do. I don't necessarily think that that's a negative thing, Harvey. And perhaps in a good way, because of the kind of community that you represent, they need someone like you. They don't need somebody that politely plays by the rules. Not that you don't play by the rules, because you do. You're just much more vocal about what you want for your constituents, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Tony, do you know why I stay in the community? You know why I go to 16 different community meetings a month? Why I spend countless hours giving people my cell phone number so they can just call me and so I can listen? Because my job is to represent the district. If the district is frustrated, my job is to communicate that frustration in a place where important decisions are made. And, you know, I go out there and I listen to the concerns of people. And if they're telling me this is what they're complaining about, my job is to go and tell people where these decisions can be made. This is what people are complaining about as it relates to my district and, to a larger extent, the city of Detroit. My job is to make decisions on their behalf. I stay in contact with my people. My community is so frustrated right now because of the lack of quality of life that they have. This is not the America that they want to live in. And so my job is to go and find ways to make that happen for them to live in the America that they want to live in.
All right, we need to take a quick break. State Representative Harvey Santana, my guest, 888-552-3595. That other election that Representative Santana was talking about will be the topic of our next segment. You'll want to stay where you're at. This is a conversation you don't want to miss.
WDTW, Continuous Traffic Watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
Taking a look at your traffic, no accidents, just some heavy traffic on 94 westbound between Maross and Whittier. And it's slow moving on 75 southbound between 696 and John R. Same for 75 southbound between Rochester and 11 Mile. Tapping the brakes on 94 westbound between Whittier and Shane. And slow moving on 96 eastbound between Wixom and Beck Roads. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet's Great Steak Pledge just got even greater. For a limited time, Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet is serving its thick-cut Rancher's Select Sirloin for just $9.99 every night. Come in tonight for a great steak dinner at a great low price. Only at Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 55. Tonight, a low of 40. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and 62, and it's currently 38 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
Walmart warehouse workers continue to put pressure on the company days after successfully shutting down a distribution center in Elwood, Illinois. According to Progress Illinois, workers protested in front of a downtown Chicago store on Friday and delivered 96,000 signatures to the store manager, demanding better working conditions. Last week on his Madison-based program, The People's Mic, Wynn's Doug Cunningham interviewed organizer Leah Freed and warehouse worker Mike Compton to get a better understanding of the situation on the ground.
Are they members of a union, Leah, like United Electrical Workers, your union, or are they just, are they not, are they working through a workers' center now?
They are organized with Warehouse Workers for Justice, and they're part of the Warehouse Worker Organizing Committee. Obviously, Warehouse Workers for Justice was founded with help from UE, but they don't have a union. And this is one of the great violations of workers' rights in these warehouses, that is that there are so many temp workers that it effectively makes it impossible to organize a union. And so, you know, these problems in part persist because they don't have a union, and so organizing is the response. And this is a big lesson for a lot of people in this country, is that you don't actually need to have a union to go out on strike. You just need to be organized. So
yeah,
you don't
yeah.
need to have some sort of legal recognition. And your rights are protected the same. So, you know, this is an unfair labor practice strike, and they're protected under federal law from taking part in this protest.
Yeah, that's right. All workers have the right under the National Labor Relations Act for concerted collective action together to improve their working conditions and to address grievances.
Right.
Let me talk to Mike. Is it the worker there?
Yeah. Mike is right here. He is a worker at the Walmart warehouse.
All right, great. Mike, hi. Welcome to the People's Mic.
Thank you.
tell us in your own words what you guys went out on strike for, and what are some of these conditions at that Walmart warehouse in Illinois that you're protesting?
You know, the final straw that got us to walk out was just presenting a petition to our managers, and they just refused to even acknowledge that we were trying to hand them a petition. On the petition, we were really only asking for four basic things, which was a living wage, respect, a safe workplace, and just overall respect.
And they didn't, and when you tried to approach them, you say that they refused to sit down and talk to you about this, or refused to accept, you know, anything from you, any petitions or any kind of documents from you guys talking about these issues?
They like looked away, like they ignored that we were trying to even hand them a petition. And within a couple minutes, they told us we were trespassing and we were fired and we had to leave the building. They actually did call the police on us to get a lot of us to leave the building.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Tribbiano.
Now, time to punch back in.
35 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Monday morning. Thank you for punching in with us. State Representative Harvey Santana is my guest. He's with us every month, normally the first Monday, but he was off in D.C. doing business, the business of business, this past Monday. So he joined us today, and we'll look forward to having him on in November. You know, you'll be on the day before the election.
Oh, that's
in
cool.
November. So, you know, that should actually be very interesting.
Yeah.
I do want to remind people that live in the 10th or the new 9th, because it's the 9th that they'll be voting in, to make sure they vote for Harvey Santana.
Thank you.
Come November 6th, absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about leadership. You know, certainly you've had your issues with Rick Hemmel. He's been a guest on this show. He's you know, certainly presents himself well. But, Harvey, you know, I don't agree with him on the way he's treated you and some other issues. And it doesn't matter. He's term limited. Well, it does matter. But for the purpose of our conversation, he's term limited. He'll be leaving. There will be new leadership. I would think that, you know, there's some kind of succession plan, but that's not always true. And in this case, it is not, is it?
No. To give people kind of a peek behind door number two, the inside baseball is that once the November election clears, the Democrats and the Republicans are going to go into their respective caucuses, and they're going to have a conversation about where they want to head for the next 24 months. And that conversation is largely dependent on who's in control, who has the majority, who has the minority. And depending upon that, they're going to figure out, okay, who becomes the speaker pro tem, who becomes the caucus chair, the floor leader, all those types of assignments get handed out. And so what we'll do is exactly that. Now, depending on where you land, it's going to determine, you know, who has the desire to run. Because the Speaker of the House, that's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. You'll never be that again. So that's, you know, people want the top job.
Sure.
And so for others, it's more about legacy. Now, for some, it's about being in a position to move your own personal agenda or deliver something back the way you see fit. For me, it's all about leadership. Tony, I won by 66% of the vote. Despite all of the happenings in Lansing, no matter what committees I've been on or what committees I've been booted off of, or whatever came out in the press, the people said, we want Harvey Santana. So none of the junior varsity league titles that you get or committee assignments matter to those folk. What matters is the leadership that you bring to the table. So we've been at this now for 21 months. And when you look back, it's been longer than that, Tony, because prior to the current leadership, we had Andy Dillon. So, you know, these are my words, nobody else's, but to me, we've had Republican leadership inside the Democratic caucus for 2 years. And then he decides he wants to become the governor. He leaves the caucus high and dry. The job of the Speaker of the House.
And this is Andy Dillon you're talking about, right? I just want to clarify that.
Yes, and what ends up happening, he decides he wants to run for governor. The job of the Speaker or your party leader is to raise the money so that you can stay in control. And guess what happens? He's off raising money for himself in his own campaign. We get the shellacking, as President Obama says, and we lose control. Not just lose, but we lose handedly. And so now we're fighting back after a redistricting to regain seats and regain control. Well, now we're in this for 2 years. When I went when I first got elected, I was asked to support Rick Hamlin. And so I did that because I felt, well, look, the guy's going to win. You want to be on the winning side. To the victor go the spoils, all that kind of stuff. You get the right committee assignments. But what you end up finding out is when you're in a minority, none of that even matters because you're not running the agenda. And when they have the amount of votes that they have on the other side, you're just basically sitting there protesting as much as you can. Now, the other thing is that when you select the leader of your caucus, that sets the tone for the next 24 months. So in this new election, the tone is going to be, are you going to be passive? Are you going to be aggressive? Are you going to be passive-aggressive? What's in the heart of the individual? And that is the conversation that I want to have with anybody who comes to Harvey Santana and says, I need your support. I'm going to say, why? What makes you think you're a leader? Very simple question. What makes you think you can take all of these diverse personalities, these people with very different backgrounds, and people who have a lot of experience, practically or unpractically speaking? For instance, we have the wife of the former lieutenant governor, John Cherry, coming into, Pam Ferris, coming into the House. You don't think she knows about politics?
Of course she does.
Okay, we got people who are very strong on labor issues. You don't think they know about politics? We got business owners. We got people who, you know, are out there and have just a wide variety of experience. And so what makes you think you have the leadership ability to manage that? The other thing is, what if the numbers shrink, which I believe they will? Let's say we don't take back the majority. Let's say we come close. I want to see a three-pronged plan. What is going to be your legislative leadership style in terms of taking a stand on issues like item pricing and making sure nobody jumps ship? Taking a stand on education issues and making sure nobody jumps ship? How about your campaign plan? Because if we're, let's say, at 52, what's your plan at that point to regain the majority? Because that's what it becomes, okay? It's your race to regain the majority because you're that close in. It's your job now. It's your responsibility. And the third part about it is, what is, as I said before, what's your leadership ability? You know, because we have all these different people. There's all kinds of different Democrats. What makes you think people are going to respect you? Do you command respect? Do you command fear? Do people even know what your name is? What makes you think people are going to look at you and say, yeah, I'm going to follow that person? And so those are very simple questions.
Yeah, they're simple, but they're not easy to answer. We're going to take a call, Harvey, if you'd put your headphones on. Again, if you'd like to join us, 888-552-3595. We welcome Les in Detroit to First Shift. My brother, good morning to you. Hope you're well.
Good morning, fellow patriots. Yes, I am, Tony. How about you?
I'm doing real well this morning. Thank you.
Good morning, Les.
Great. I had the privilege of meeting Mr. Santana at a forum at Calvary Baptist Church this past Saturday. We had crossed paths, but we have never met. I think he is a great legislator. I want to ask him, what is it going to take for the Republicans to start working with the Democrats? And what better Michigan?
Well, that's a big question, Les. That's a very big question. Thanks for the call. Go ahead, Harvey.
In my opinion, I think that, first of all, I think that there's going to have to be more meat on the bone. And I think that, A, the problem we can't fix immediately is these term limits. It's horrible. I can't build relationships with anybody while I'm there because we're not there long enough to do it. That's number one. Number two, I think we got to shrink those numbers. I mean, if we get to a point where they don't enjoy a 64-member majority,
right,
and if we can take over control of the House, they're going to have to come back and deal with us one way or the other. And in that type of situation, it becomes even more important, you know, in terms of who your leadership then becomes. Are they going to be aggressive? Do they have the negotiating skills? Are they going to be tough? Are they going to be able to manage the caucus? Are they going to be able to, you know, make sure the messaging is on point? The other thing is, if we don't take back the majority, if we remain in a minority, what ends up happening is that those numbers shrink. They don't enjoy that big number. So some of those members on that side aren't going to vote the way the Republican leadership wants to vote, which means they got to come to us to work with us. So to Les's question, what's it going to take? I think it's going to take really pushing them up against the wall and forcing them to take votes that they don't necessarily want to take.
Well, and Les, that was a great question. And Harvey, you know, it's clear that even if you don't gain the majority, and I'm not going to make an assumption one way or the other, but even if you don't, if you do pick up 8 or 10 seats and you're close, that changes the conversation too.
Completely.
I mean, the closer you get to that 50-50 split, the more they will be forced to work with you because there will not be an option.
And Tony, my perspective, and I think Les understands this, as does my district, as a legislator, I legislate from this position. This is Harvey Santana's politics. My district is 90% African American. I'm Hispanic. I legislate from the position of a person of color who understands the struggles that people of color have had to go through in this country and the institutional obstacles that still exist in the United States of America. And so when I look for a leader, I want to make sure that that person has a social consciousness about what's going on. And that's why I gave these examples of what it would look like if we shrunk 6.5 billion people down to 100 people. I want someone that has that type of finite understanding of what Harvey Santana's district and Harvey Santana's city of Detroit is all about. And, you know, when I tell you, look, this is bad policy and this is why, I expect that leader to understand it and to respect what I'm saying. Because if you want my vote, and if this all comes down to one vote or a block of votes that, you know, I currently enjoy, you know, what makes you think that you're going to satisfy that need to understand what we're going through in the city of Detroit?
Well, you know, this kind of harkens back to the lighting bill and how you knew that this was just not the right thing to do. And in fact, one of my frustrations, and I'm not going to name names, is that you had both some colleagues in the House and some friends in the Senate that agreed with you that didn't have the courage to stand up and publicly support you. I don't like that, Harvey.
Well, and it's interesting that if you pick up yesterday's paper, they had this big thing on Mike Duggan. He doesn't like the bill. So all of a sudden, Mike Duggan knows, so it must have been.
Oh, now it's okay.
Now it must, yeah. I don't like that bill because it was borrowing against Detroit's futures, and we've been doing that, and that's why Detroit's in the problem it's got.
Yeah, imagine. Let's take a quick break here. Wow, we're going to have to wrap it up on the other side already. Harvey Santana, my guest. You've got the number if you want to ring in. When we come back, a little more on this. Prop 5, lots to do. Don't go anywhere. This is 1310 WDTW.
First Shift with Tony Tribbiani.
I want the top wealthiest Americans to be taxed higher and that money to go to education.
I want true democracy for the 99% of us who don't have it anymore.
On 1310 WDTW.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members. A place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen. Be heard. Take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Union.
Solidarity.
Democracy.
We make a difference when you give your voice.
What's on your mind?
1-888-552-3595.
You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
10 minutes before the top of the hour, State Representative Harvey Santana is my guest, and always happy to have him.
Yeah, you got
one of the fastest hours of the month, absolutely. You've got the number. Let's go back to the phones and welcome Jerry in Farmington. Jerry, thanks for punching in with us this morning. You're on the air with Representative Harvey Santana.
Hey, good morning, both of you.
Good morning.
That little question for Harvey Santana, I saw last week on the editorial page of the Detroit News a letter written by state, going to be, I guess, in January, former State Representative Lisa Leese praising Jace Bolger. I looked at the thing and almost gagged. What is any chance of her perhaps, like, if you get any, like, legislative lame duck session, where she's going to flop over to the dark side, to the other side of the aisle, and start voting with them? Even
well,
more than she's done already.
Jerry, that's a great question. Before I let Harvey answer that, as I'm sure you heard, she was out stumping for a Republican candidate going door-to-door in Warren last week. Of course, Henry Yanez is the guy that should and win that race. So, but go ahead. And thank you, Jerry, for the call. Go ahead and answer that.
Well, Jerry, you know, I guess I'll start off by saying I'm glad she stuck up for Bolger because I'm not going to do it. You know, as far as her deciding to flip over and you know, start voting with the Republicans, I guess I don't study her record, but I would just say go back and look at her record and figure out if the past is going to be prologue to the future. We only have a handful of days left to the legislative session, so there's no telling what kind of legislation is going to come out. If we're successful at regaining the majority, I will tell you that it's going to be a very ugly lame duck session because they're going to try to push in as much as they can because they enjoy the numbers. And if it's not, I think it'll be milder. But in terms of what Leslie is going to do, I don't know.
Well, she has become unpredictable, but Jerry, thank you for the call. Actually, she's become quite predictable. I shouldn't say that. She's become quite predictable. I just find it interesting. I was at the Lapeer County Democratic Club on Saturday evening addressing them, and she was the topic of much discussion and, well, humor. I'll leave it at that. Harvey, very quickly, I wanted to make sure we get to Prop 5.
And very important.
This is the one we've been kind of, you know, we've been doing all of the proposals. Prop 5, all I've really done is just rail against it because there's nothing in it that I like. And I'm a little concerned because I see some of the polling on this question. I don't think people understand what happens if Prop 5 passes.
You should be afraid. Michigan, you should be very, very afraid of Proposition 5. I'm going to tell you why. If you need an example of what Proposition 5 is going to be like, just go to the state of California. They passed this bill in 1978 in the state of California, and since that time, the state of California has missed $560 billion worth of revenue that could have gone to the state of Michigan or state of California. And as a result now, the state of California is facing a $16 billion budget that there's no end in sight. There's no hope in sight of them balancing that budget. And as a result of that, what you now have is a strong contingent of Tea Party folks in the Republican California legislature that won't allow it to happen. Let me give you kind of a layman's example of what this is like. Imagine, Tony, you go out to the Palace to go watch the Pistons take on the Celtics. And the score ends. This is game 5, NBA Finals. The Pistons win 65-35. Well, they win, right?
Right.
No, they don't, because it's not a supermajority of the points. So they needed one more point in order to get the supermajority. Now, Tony, you and I both know, any kid in America is going to say, this is dumb. Who wins a game that way? Well, that's exactly what Proposition 5 is. And what would end up happening is all the fans that bought a ticket to go see the game now have to go in November to decide whether or not the Pistons actually won that game or not. That's exactly what this is. If we can't get a supermajority of votes to pass anything dealing with taxes in the House, then it has to go to a November election. Well, how do you manage government that way? You don't. And let me tell you what it's like. And I'll give you another scenario. Right now, the Republicans have 64. You know what it would require to pass the tax vote? 74 in the House. 74 votes in the House. And then what it would require is, you know, going to the Senate and passing by a supermajority in the Senate, which I think is 24, 26, if I'm not mistaken. But nevertheless, that's the complexity of what this is all about. Now, imagine if this were flipped around and the Democrats had control of the House, 64 members. You need 74. How many Republicans do you think are going to come over?
Not 10.
Raising taxes against their religion. So you don't think they're going to convert. So you're not going to get the 8 votes you need.
You know, it's interesting you say that, because although raising taxes are against their religion, it's exactly what they did to balance the budget. They raised taxes. I mean, they didn't on corporations, but they did on the middle class and on our seniors. I wonder how they reconcile that.
So then, exactly. And I don't know, maybe a confession with Dr. Father O'Malley. So if you can't raise the revenue, what do you do then? Do you empty out the prisons? Do you close more schools? Do you cut more education budget? Do you not pave the roads? Do you make them unrideable? How do you manage government in a situation like
that? I don't understand. Is this going to be then just nothing but a series of communities having to do the millage thing like we're doing now?
No, you know what we'll end up happening is we'll probably fee you to death. You'll get the clean water fee, the walking on the cement fee. You know what it would be like? You ever go and rent a car at the airport?
Yeah.
You look at your receipt. How many taxes go on there?
Yeah, you're right.
Or you go to a hotel and you look at the receipt. That's exactly what it's going to be like if they want to raise their revenue. And so,
look. So we're talking about no more school improvement, no more teachers, no more firemen, no more cops, cutting aid to families, taking children out of the foster care system. We're talking about a lot of things that would have a negative impact, right? I mean, I do understand this.
Yeah,
right,
absolutely. Right. And, you know, the thing that strikes me is even more concerning is that we just passed two of these types of bills, tax bills, earlier in this legislative session, and they narrowly passed. Now, think about this. 64 Republicans, by my count, at least 30 of them identify with the Tea Party. How do you manage government in that type of setting? You can't. And so what it does is it limits the legislature's ability to do their job. It really doesn't. The only reason I don't like this proposal, like I don't like the others, is you're trying to legislate through the Constitution. That's exactly what you're doing here. And so when you do that, you know, everybody wants their little carve out about what it is that they want or what they want or what they want to protect themselves against. And now you're putting things in the Constitution. What happens when the next multi-millionaire person comes along and says, I want this special thing?
Well, and we're out of time, unfortunately. But, Harvey, let me also remind this audience that Proposal 5 is not supported by most business, not supported by a lot of conservative groups. A lot of people understand that it's just the wrong thing. Harvey, just a great day today. Thank you so much
Thank
for
you.
Being with
Thank
us.
You for the opportunity.
Representative Harvey Santana. We've got to get to the break already. I can't believe it. Mark Brewer on the other side. Everybody stay where they're at. NBC News coming up. This is First Shift. I'm Tony Trupiano. We'll be back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
Taking a look at your traffic, no accidents, just some heavy traffic on 94 westbound between Maross and Whittier, and it's slow moving on 75 southbound between 696 and John R. Same for 75 southbound between Rochester and 11 Mile. Tapping the brakes on 94 westbound between Whittier and Shane, and slow moving on 96 eastbound between Wixom and Beck Roads. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet's Great Steak Pledge just got even greater. For a limited time, Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet is serving its thick-cut Rancher's Select Sirloin for just $9.99 every night. Come in tonight for a great steak dinner at a great low price. Only at Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 55. Tonight, a low of 40. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and 62, and it's currently 38 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano right here on 13.
Nippy out there for much of the nation. Cold air down from Canada providing an early taste of winter. NBC's Kevin Tibbles.
Over the weekend, 74 record low temperatures were set, and frost and freeze advisories are out for several states this morning.
Meantime, NBC's Courtney Regan says the cold snap can be blamed in part for a coming apple shortage.
This year's apple crop is shaping up to be the smallest since 1986, down 14% from last year.
New York State's apple harvest cut in half. California officials looking to drive down the sky-high cost of gasoline by allowing winter blend gas to be sold immediately. Average for regular in the Golden State, $4.65 a gallon. And think twice about making your password six lowercase letters. A new study says a cyber thief can figure that out in 10 minutes. Throw in upper and lowercase, plus some numbers. It takes a thief 16 days to break it. This is NBC News Radio. Mitt Romney looking to flex his foreign policy muscles today by branding President Obama as a weak leader. NBC's Peter Alexander.
Mitt Romney here at Virginia Military Institute is hoping to draw a sharp contrast with the president on foreign policy issues, specifically saying to him that hope is not a strategy.
The Obama campaign calls Romney reckless and amateurish on foreign policy questions. Wall Street coming off a strong week that saw the Dow gain 173 points. It's bearish this morning, though. Stock futures point to a lower open. Oil prices down a buck and a half, just over 88 per barrel. This year's Nobel Prize in Medicine awarded this morning to British and Japanese researchers for their work in developmental physiology. And a new wrinkle in bladder research, a study says Botox injections in the bladder can be very effective for people who suffer from frequent and sudden urges to urinate. The downside, the yearly Botox injections, the possibility of urinary tract infections. I'm Dirk Van, NBC News Radio.
Have you heard? Proactive is America's top acne system because it works. So stay tuned for a chance to participate in a 60-day trial to prove it. Proactive heals your acne and helps prevent new breakouts. We're looking for 50 people with moderate acne to demonstrate exactly how fast Proactive works. The first 50 callers who qualify can try Proactive risk-free and get free shipping. Visit GetProactive.com or call 1-800-714-9005. That's 1-800-714-9005.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Vote in the O'Reilly Auto Parts Dream Car Election and you could win $50,000, $1,000, or one of many instant win prizes being given away through November 6th. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. No purchase necessary. See O'ReillyAuto.com for official rules and full details. We're O'Reilly Auto Parts and we approve this message.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
A boost with flavor. That's what energy drink maker Red Bull is shooting for, as for the first time it launches flavored versions. USA Today says the company will today unveil cranberry, lime, and blueberry-flavored Red Bull to be sold in red, silver, and blue cans and to start selling in March. The line will be called Red Bull Editions. You know how it goes, Black Friday. Shoppers line up earlier and earlier to hit the stores while the best deals are available, but it may be a fool's errand. It turns out Black Friday deals may not be all they're cracked up to be. An analysis for the Wall Street Journal by consumer price research firm Decide Incorporated finds prices of some select gift items actually rise as the shopping days tick down, and gifts from Barbie dolls to watches to blenders are often priced below Black Friday levels at various times throughout the year, even during the holiday season. Looking ahead to the opening bell on Wall Street, we are looking at some red ink. S&P futures are down 5.5 points, NASDAQ down 13, oil prices down a little more than $1.88.81 a barrel. I'm Steve Potus, at MarketWatch.com.
IBM System X, x86 servers, and a mid-sized company.
One company makes these, and another these. Different companies with one thing in common, IBM System X x86 servers. They're flexible, affordable, and high-performing, with the System X 3650 M4 delivering up to 84% improved performance over its previous generation system. So even if these companies are different, IBM can help both.
For more on IBM System X servers with Intel Xeon processors, go to ibm.com/systems/choice.
Parts Plus Auto Parts stores and car care centers invite you to enter the Let's Go to Hawaii sweepstakes. You could win an all-expense-paid trip for two to Hawaii to participate in football All-Star Weekend festivities. There are hundreds of other fabulous prizes as well, and there will be winners at every Parts Plus location. Get details and enter at any participating Parts Plus parts store or car care center. If you want to win a Hawaiian vacation, and if you want the best parts and service for your car, not just parts, Parts Plus. Enter today.
Newman, where's Shipley with my cost analysis?
She's homesick, Mr. Fernwell. I'll handle it.
Ooh.
Oh, no. Are you sick too, sir?
Newman, last time you did the cost analysis, it wasn't pretty. Call Bob from AccountTemps.
Oh, I never get to do any of the important stuff.
Okay, you can do payroll.
Yes. What's that?
On second thought, Bob from AccountTemps could handle payroll, too.
Bob.
Call AccountTemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. AccountTemps, a Robert Half Company.
This is Charles Osgood. Every day, where do I see the independent spirit our country was founded on? In small business owners. We rely on them, and they rely on the UPS store. From packing and shipping to professional printing to mailbox services, small business owners get help from the UPS store. But perhaps the best thing they get is the feeling that they're not alone out there. And even for those with a strong independent streak, that's a rather reassuring feeling.
We love small business. We love logistics. To find the location near you, visit the UPSstore.com.
An idea. A thought. Born in Dearborn. The product of hard work, teamwork, pride. Put in the hands of the people.
For the people.
Made in America.
It's time to punch in for your
first shift. Now, here's Tony Trujano.
Good Monday morning to you. It's the 8th day of October 2012. A pleasure to be with you. Thanks for punching in with us this morning. Before I go further and introduce our next guest, I want to thank Joe Black, who invited me last night to an Occupy the Vote concert at the Redford Theater in Detroit. Where he allowed me to address really a very impressive crowd. Joe, if you're listening this morning, and I would imagine you're probably exhausted if you are, more than a worthy effort. Thank you for your courage. Thank you for standing up and registering voters, reminding you that tomorrow is the day. We'll talk about that in this half hour. That tomorrow's the deadline to register, so you need to make sure you do it if you have not. But I thoroughly enjoyed that last night of Saturday night. I want to thank the Lapeer County Democratic Club for asking me to come out and give a keynote address at their 14th annual Congressional Dinner and Awards Banquet. They were beyond gracious, and they were wonderful hosts. So thoroughly enjoyed my visit with them as well. And lots of good stuff coming up this week, including a celebration with Working America this Thursday in Ypsilanti, where they celebrate over 100,000 members, folks. That's a lot of activists doing some awfully good work. So lots of good stuff to come up. But let's get our intro going, and let's get this hour underway.
The Michigan Democratic Party chairman, Mark Brewer.
They're partying on Mackinac Island this weekend. The fate of our school kids, our police and firefighters, our unemployed is hanging in the balance. But do the Republicans care about that? No. They'd rather party on the island than get their job done in Lansing.
It's time for Monday Mornings with Mark Brewer.
And joining us now is the chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party, Mark Brewer. And Mark, as always, as we work ever closer to November 6th, we welcome you back to First Shift.
Morning, Tony.
Good to have you with us. Listen, I want to start off with not only some good news, but, well, a democracy in action, where Secretary of State Ruth Johnson was told, take your hands and get them off our ballots, please.
Yeah, that's right, Tony. Friday evening, actually, a tremendous victory for voting rights in this state when a federal judge ordered her to take the citizenship checkbox off of the ballots for the November election. Just a tremendous victory. She was illegally putting those on there in the first place. It had caused enormous confusion. The August primary was guaranteed to cause confusion again. And Tony, this story's not over, because we're now learning that going back to Mike Cox and Terry Land and now through the Johnson administration, the Secretary of State's office has actually been encouraging non-citizens to register to vote. So if there's a problem here, it is of Terry Lynn Land and Ruth Johnson's own making.
Well, you know, Mark, I was out in Lapeer on Saturday night, and this was a topic of considerable discussion all evening long, because people were very, very concerned that something that was obviously illegal may have gone rewarded. And I'm happy to say it didn't. You know, but Mark, we really shouldn't have to be doing this. And, you know, this ends up costing somebody money. It's not like this stuff just, you know, gets decided, in the courts without there being a cost. And I'm not talking just money, of course. There's also democracy that can sometimes be shortchanged. Now, we've been fortunate that the courts have been fairly good to us. But again, Mark, it doesn't come without cost, and the people need to know that.
No, that's right, Tony. An enormous amount of time and energy has been devoted to this. I mean, you and I and all your listeners, we were paying for the state's lawyers to defend Ruth Johnson on Friday. So this has been an enormous distraction, enormous waste of time and energy, when they could have been focused on other things. But it just shows you how far the Republicans are willing to go, willing to bend, if not break, the law in order to suppress the vote. And thankfully, we've been able to go to court. There were some great victories in court last week in Pennsylvania and other states against these Republican efforts at voter suppression. But it's a shame. It is a terrible shame and a waste that we have to go to court to enforce our fundamental right to vote.
Well, let me say, I think, Mark, that's a nice segue into what I want to ask you about. Ruth Johnson, of course, and again, we need to get to the bottom of it, but the question remains, will the grand jury, the one-person grand jury that's investigating Speaker Jace Bolger's election fraud case, will she be called to testify before this grand jury? As you know, Mark, because you've been personally involved in this, you have, of course, been doing your job as the watchdog, not only of the Democratic Party, but of democracy. that there are some answers that the Secretary of State has to, some questions that she has to answer. Do you believe the grand jury will subpoena her?
I think they should, Tony. And just for your listeners, here's what's going on. During the investigation by the Kent County prosecutor for 2 months, the Secretary of State's office failed to turn over a key piece of evidence. Roy Schmidt insisted he never met or knew the fake Democrat. In fact, the Secretary of State had video of them meeting during this whole scheme. So that proved that Schmidt was a liar and would help unravel the scheme. For 2 months, the prosecutor tried to get that tape, and the Secretary of State refused, blocked, made excuses at every turn. I think that's obstruction of justice, Tony, and I hope the Secretary of State gets called in by the grand jury to explain why she failed to cooperate with that investigation.
You know, Mark, let me play devil's advocate for just a moment. What about those that might say, listen, this is just the Democratic Party, you know, just chomping at the bit. They see a small opening, and they're going to just attack, because, frankly, they've got nothing else. How would you respond to that?
Well, first of all, Tony, it's not me. It's not the Democrats. The Kent County prosecutor, even though he failed to prosecute, said that this scheme stank, you know, that it showed a lack of integrity. It was really bad. And then we had an impartial panel of judges in Ingham County vote to investigate this. So this is not the Democrats investigating this. This is not the Democrats deciding to impanel a grand jury. Independent judges have decided that there is probable cause that crimes were committed here. That's why we have a grand jury. I'm proud that played a role in bringing this to the public's attention and to the attention of the judiciary, because this kind of election rigging cannot be tolerated.
Well, it cannot be tolerated, Mark, and that really is the point. You know, I'm going to go back to that case in Oakland County where, you know, there was some question as to whether or not there was legality. Some of the candidates, I mean, I don't need to walk you through it. You remember it quite well. In fact, it just got resolved in court a few months back. But, Mark, the Republicans made so much of that. And I'm not saying what they did was right. I don't even know what they did for certain. I do know this. You can't have it both ways. You can't condemn that act or those actions and not look at this and not condemn or react in a very distasteful way to what the Republicans did. And Mark, it is clear, Lisa Posthumous Lyons, the Secretary of State, perhaps our own Attorney General, not to mention Roy Schmidt and the Speaker himself, knew exactly what they were doing, and there has to be some kind of repercussion from this.
That's right, Tony. I mean, that Oakland County incident was investigated by a one-person grand jury. If that incident was deserving of that kind of attention, then this one certainly does, because it involves the Speaker of the House, who is in line to be governor. He's head of one of the biggest, most important branches of our state government, the State House of Representatives. So this certainly calls for this kind of serious investigation. And I might add, Ruth Johnson is stalling other things. I've had complaints pending with her about campaign finance violations against Bulger for 2 months, Tony. 2 months. And there's been silence on that. Clearly, that's being stalled until after the election as well.
Well, you know, and Mark, it kind of just makes you really wonder, and you got to do it out loud. You know, when she ignores the governor's veto pen, when the Secretary of State, Ruth Johnson, ignores the governor's veto pen, what else is she ignoring? I can't imagine this is an isolated case.
No, the arrogance that's going on here, and, you know, this rigid ideological conservative Tea Party agenda that she's following is just appalling. I mean, she is responsible for the administration of our elections. And we've got to make sure that we've got integrity, trust, faith in that system. And every time she does this, every time she delays an investigation, she tries to hinder people voting, it shakes confidence in our own democratic system. And that's just intolerable.
All right, let's very quickly take a look at the Speaker's race. Last week we talked about it being within the margin of error. Where are we this week?
Well, I think if you're getting a very intense race, Tony, the Speaker now is on the air, on radio and on TV, Tony, attacking our Democratic candidate, Bill Farmer. You don't do that unless you are in trouble. And he thinks, and I agree, I think he is in trouble in that district because of this illegal conduct, because of these shenanigans. That's not the kind of representative that people, not only in Calhoun and Kalamazoo counties, don't want. They don't want that anywhere in the state. He's being held accountable. He's in trouble, and he's acting like it.
All right, Mark, we're going to take a quick break here, so stay right where you're at. Mark Brewer, my guest, chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party, remind you that tomorrow is the deadline to register to vote. Also, you can get all the information you want on candidates, ballot questions at MichiganDems.com, MichiganDems.com. We'll take a quick break here, a whole lot more to get to. On the other side, Chris Savage at the bottom of the hour in our blog roll segment for this Monday. Going by quick, folks. Hold on. We got a lot to get to, and we'll do it right after this on 1310 WDTW.
First Chip with Tony Trivino.
And you guys vote Republican. I'm not supposed to. This isn't political, so I'm not supposed to say this.
Don't come to me if you do. You're on your own, Jack.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
Getting into your rush hour traffic, we've got two new problems. We got an accident that's blocking the exit ramp on 96 westbound to Newburgh Road. Two vehicles involved there. On 75 southbound, just before 8 Mile, disabled vehicle has your right shoulder blocked. That's causing slow traffic from 14 Mile. Now you got heavy traffic on 696 westbound between Mound Road and Cousins Avenue, and stop and go traffic on M53 southbound between Hall Road and Van Dyke. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet's Great Steak Pledge just got even greater. For a limited time, Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet is serving its thick-cut Rancher Select Sirloin for just $9.99 every night. Come in tonight for a great steak dinner at a great low price. Only at Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 55. Tonight, a low of 40. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and 62, and it's currently 38 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
From her first moments as mayor, Janice Daniels has repeatedly disrespected the city of Troy and its citizens. During her swearing-in ceremony, she blatantly refused to take the oath to uphold the city charter of Troy. Justifying her actions, Mayor Daniels declared the city charter to be a whimsical document. She embarrassed the city's proud history and those public servants who came before her. She further embarrassed the city of Troy and made national headlines with her derogatory and inexcusable comments targeted at homosexuals and the LGBT community, forever linking the city of Troy and its diverse population with this kind of intolerance. Her extreme agenda influenced her voting against expanded funding for the city library and the building of a federally funded transit center, ignoring a large bipartisan majority and the direct endorsement of Governor Rick Snyder and the wishes of the Troy Chamber of Commerce. She repeatedly used her deciding vote to ignore what was best for the city of Troy. And if Janice Daniels doesn't represent you, vote yes to recall her on November the 6th.
First Chip with Tony Trivino.
But in the past, Governor Romney has said he just wants to repeal Dodd-Frank. Roll it back. And so the question is, does anybody out there think that the big problem we had is that there was too much oversight and regulation of Wall Street? Because if you do, then Governor Romney is your candidate. But that's not what I believe.
On 1310 WDTW.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Is America truly the land of the free, when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women
who put in a hard day's work every day.
This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Trupiano.
All right, I wanted to play that ad, guys. If you'd go ahead and hit that, I'd appreciate it. Do we have that ad queued up? Okay, well.
This is Amy. 12 years from now, she'll have an office, a title, and a boss who sexually harasses her. But because Michigan's Supreme Court ruled that corporations have no responsibility to prevent harassment or even rape at work, she won't have the right to fight back in court. Connie Kelly, Sheila Johnson, and Bridget McCormick have zero tolerance for violence against women and kids. These three protect families.
And that is one of the latest ads to support the three candidates that have been on this show a few times. Mark Brewer now joins us. Mark, an interesting weekend for the Supremes, all of them getting favorable press, some of them getting endorsements. But the important thing is, all three of them are getting a lot of attention for all the right reasons. I haven't seen a negative piece of press on any of them.
No, that's right, Tony. And the reason is because we're talking about the issues that people care about. I mean, that ad that you just played, we call Amy, that's everybody's granddaughter, their niece, their daughter. I mean, that really shows that these terrible decisions by the Supreme Court, which have allowed sex harassment and rape in the workplace, Tony, affect all of us, not just women, but all of us. And that's what this race is about three candidates, Kelly Johnson McCormick. We're going to stand up for families and women and kids against the corporate special interests, the insurance companies, and those folks who are funding the other side.
Well, let's talk about funding for the other side, Mark. As we've seen, the Maroon family supporting a couple of the Republicans that are running. We now see that the Realtors Association is getting involved in this as well. That should make us a bit nervous.
Oh, yeah, Tony, but there's a pattern here. The insurance companies, you know, provide enormous resources to these justices, and in the ad we've got on the air, they get decision after decision in their favor. The Maroons give Zara and Markman money. They get a decision putting their bridge proposal and their tax proposal on the ballot. And we see now the Realtors, who spent nearly $500,000 in 2010 helping to elect the Republicans on the court, got a very favorable ruling upholding basically robo-foreclosures that have really hurt a lot of folks in the state. And now the Realtors are paying those justices back by running ads again. I mean, this is just appalling, this pay-to-play mentality, this apparently pay-to-play court that we've got where contributors fund the campaigns and get exactly the decisions they want. We have got to put a stop to that.
Yes, even the Free Press yesterday on the opinion page talked about the not necessarily a coincidence between some Supreme Court victories and where that funding comes from. Mark, we just have so much to get to, so I'm going to move on, but want to remind people this is the nonpartisan part of the ballot. Just turn it over or go to that page and do that first, then go back to the other stuff, because it's critical that you vote for the ballot proposals and all of the judges, not just the Supreme Court judges, all of the judges. Mark, as I think you know, I had Dr. Syed Taj on the show Friday morning, who was beyond dismayed, quite disappointed that his opponent, his Republican opponent, Carrie Bentivoglio, was a no-show at the League of Women Voters debate, I believe it was last Tuesday evening. Mark, you know, at some point, I get it. His strategy is, if nobody hears me, if nobody sees me, being a Republican alone should get me elected.
Well, that's certainly a strategy, Tony. And he's highly some very extreme views Look, this is a guy who wants to phase out Social Security, Medicare, slash veterans benefits, take away the right of people to vote for the United States Senate. I mean, it's just amazing. And he's trying to get away with this, so we've got to make sure we call him out on it. Dr. Taj had a good week last week. He got endorsed by the Observer and Eccentric newspapers, which is a great boost for him in his district. He continues to work very hard. He's on the air with ads. They're out there canvassing every day. We're working with him on doing mail to the voters. We're doing our very best to make sure the voters understand that just how extreme his opponent is and why Dr. Taj would be a great addition to the Congress.
Well, there's no question that is true. And then, of course, in that's the 11th Congressional District. Give us an idea of what's happening in the 1st and what's happening in some of the other congressional districts, Mark, that really could go Democrat this November 6th.
Right. Well, the 1st District, where Gary McDowell is running against another Tea Party extremist, Dan Benishek, things are going very well. There's now been 4 polls in a row, Tony, where McDowell's leading. Obviously, you can't take anything for granted, and he continues to work very hard on the air, canvassing on the ground. So that seems to be moving in a good direction. I think Grand Rapids, Steve Pesca running against this Ron Paul acolyte, Justin Amash, again, on the air, canvassing, nailing voters, talking to voters about the extreme views on his opponent. And this is a guy, Justin Amash, who's been the only vote against protecting seniors from getting arbitrarily cut off when their heat is threatened. Then the lone vote to cut veterans care. He and an extreme party, Tony, Justin Amash is the furthest extreme, and we hope to defeat him in about a month.
Well, I hope so as well. Let's just remind people that you need to support these candidates, and if you can't do it with cash, you can do it with time. They'll take both or either or. Mark, before we get out of here, 2 things very quickly. Number one, yesterday marked the 11th anniversary of the war in Iraq. We want to make sure that we send out our love and support and admiration to the military men and women around the country and throughout the state of Michigan that have served so admirably and with such pride.
That's absolutely right, Tony. We are so grateful to them. And frankly, I'll be candidly grateful to the president who finally wound down that war, Barack Obama. A war that many questioned whether we should have been in at all. But our veterans fought honorably. They served their country. They deserve all the thanks that we can give them. And our gratitude to the president for finally ending that war.
And last but not least, if you happen to be near Oakland University today, you might want to give a little visit because not only will Kid Rock be out there, he'll be introducing Paul Ryan, who is coming for a rally at Oakland University, and I know that they're going to bus people in from Ohio and Indiana because they just can't find enough Romney supporters here in Michigan, Mark.
Oh, no, Rob, and this is the real symbol, frankly, of the promise of the Romney campaign, Tony, that they're holding yet another rally in Oakland County a month after the election. They should be able to count on Oakland County, and they can't because they've got candidates like Ryan, who would end Social Security and Medicare. Obviously, he and Mitt Romney were opponents of the rescue of the domestic auto industry. They've got a message they just can't sell here in Michigan.
All right. Well, Mark, we are out of time. We did that nicely, just in time. Thanks so much, Mr. Brewer. We will talk to you next Monday.
Thank you, Tony.
All right, Mark Brewer, chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party. Again, MichiganDems.com. Blog roll next. Chris Savage from Eclectablog. Stay with us.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Getting into your rush hour traffic, we've got 2 new problems. We got an accident that's blocking the exit ramp on 96 westbound to Newburgh Road. 2 vehicles involved there. On 75 southbound, just before 8 mile, disabled vehicle has your right shoulder blocked, and that's causing slow traffic from 14 mile. Now you got heavy traffic on 696 westbound between Mound Road and Cousins Avenue, and stop and go traffic on M53 southbound between Hall Road and Van Dyke. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 55. Tonight, a low of 40. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and 62, and it's currently 38 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Hail, hail, the GOP gang's all here. So let us now welcome Representative Todd Akin back into the fold. Todd, the present Republican nominee for a Missouri U.S. Senate seat, was coldly cast aside by his own partisan flock just a few weeks ago because, well, because he's truly goofy. He's the legitimate rape guy who put forth a theory of voodoo science that would prevent even pregnant rape victims from being allowed abortions. If a woman endures a, quote, legitimate rape, explained this member of, believe it or not, the U.S. House Science Committee, her body would magically generate some sort of occult hormone that would prevent her from becoming pregnant. Thus, spake Todd, any woman who gets pregnant from an unwanted sexual encounter, even a violent one forced upon her, has not experienced a legitimate rape and must bear the rapist's child. Oh, cried every GOP politico from Mitt Romney to the county dog catcher, this is too weird even for us, so Todd must resign as our party's nominee, forthwith. Only, he didn't. And guess what? The moral purists who so loudly reviled Akin a few weeks ago are now hugging him, tucking campaign checks in his sordid coat pockets, and hoping he'll win so they, and he, can take over the U.S. Senate. What's a little rape compared to political expediency? But, whoops, Todd wasn't through with his goofiness binge. Now, a video has surfaced in which Mr. Legitimate Rape Man doubles as Mr. Legitimate Discrimination Man. Asked at a public meeting why a woman shouldn't get equal pay for doing the same work as a man, the guy who would be senator explains, on video, that free enterprise means that corporations are free to discriminate in what they pay women. This is Jim Hightower saying, keep talking, Todd. We're all listening.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to. For information, visit HightowerLowdown.org.
First Shift with Tony Triano.
Joining us now is Steve Griffin, President and CEO of Veritas Entertainment.
Well, I think they're trying to defend the freedoms that we take for granted here in this nation. And this is not a Democrat or a Republican, a conservative or a liberal. This is about freedom. And I think freedom is something that we overlook because we've got bigger issues like the budget to deal with, or we've got this political race to deal with. But what undergirds this great nation, in my opinion, is freedom. And that's freedom for your neighbors that you break bread with, and that's freedom down here in the South for the people that want to go to church and still want to pray in schools.
On 1310 WDTW.
First word.
First thoughts.
First with the news and newsmakers that matter to you.
First Shift on 1310 WDTW
with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back, 8:35. It is just flying by today. That usually means we're doing good radio. I hope you agree. Again, if you'd like to join us at any point, just be topical, 888-552-3595. But it is time for Blog Roll. So please, an introduction.
Leading the charge for online truth and a vision that transcends the minutia and delivers information that impacts us all.
There's plenty of folks out there that feel pretty strongly about this. Even though labor may not be formally involved, you know, I guarantee there's going to be a lot of folks out there that are disgusted with what's been going on with the Snyder administration.
Welcome back to First Shift, this week's Blog Roll.
The next hard part starts. We have to get people to vote for this repeal, and I guarantee you there'll be money flooding into other states to fight against it.
From Neglecta Blog, Chris Savage.
And joining me now is my brother from another mother, Chris Savage from eclectablog.com, and I hope you are doing well, my friend.
I'm doing very well. So can I just say I love that we follow Jim Hightower with this piece?
Yeah, that actually is kind of interesting, isn't it? It really is pretty interesting. You know, I
guess, of our time.
Yeah, you know, I got to tell you, I spoke last night at a hip-hop concert, and I talked about racism, because there's, you know, one of the more rampant pieces of legislation that actually reaffirms, unfortunately, racism is Public Act 4. I say that, Chris, because we have to look at the people that it's most affected. And I don't remember what the number is. Maybe you do, but there's like something like 70% of African Americans in the state of Michigan are now under either emergency management or consent decree, basically taking democracy away from them. That sounds pretty tilted to me.
Yeah, it's definitely had, you know, whether or not it was intended, had a disparate impact on minority communities. Absolutely. That's, you know, that's kind of what I wanted to talk to you about this morning. I wrote a piece a couple of weeks ago about some legislation that kind of got passed into law in August without anybody really realizing it. It's legislation that started out, it was basically sponsored by Cindy Denby and Bill Rogers out of Livingston County. And this legislation goes back about a decade to when Cindy Denby was the township supervisor of Handy Township and Bill Rogers was the Livingston County Commission chair. And at that point, a lot of the communities in Livingston County were boom communities. There were tons and tons of housing development going on. And what Handy Township and some of the other groups did was to basically put up the bonds for the sewer and water infrastructure on behalf of the housing developers. Instead of asking the developers to put the infrastructure in themselves and then recoup their costs through the sale of the homes, the township actually put the money up for that with bonds, and under Bill Rogers, Livingston County Commission, they backed those bonds to give them a lower rate and basically put the county on the hook for you know, those bonds if they didn't sell, you know, or if they defaulted. And that's what happened. I mean, with the boom dying off in 2008 and beyond, the Handy Township and a lot of other Livingston County communities now are facing these bond issues that they cannot pay back. And this fiscal mismanagement is, you know, causing them to have these huge debts, which under most circumstances would lead them to an emergency manager. But Cindy Denby and Bill Rogers moved up to the state legislature, and then they proposed legislation. It took them three tries before they got it, but it's basically bailout legislation for communities like Handy Township, so that they don't have to get an emergency manager.
Yeah, but the Chris, the reason that they said or that they fought so hard for this legislation was really their justification was quite interesting, and it was because Public Act 4 isn't meant for places
That's
like
right.
Livingston County. An interesting quote, is it?
Yeah, very interesting quote, and it's not surprising coming from a Livingston County lawmaker, frankly. They don't see themselves as being, you know, sort of in the same league as a Benton Harbor or Flint or Pontiac. Like, they've got to, you know, they need help. They, you know, they're not, they didn't do this. You know, they're victims of circumstance or something, I suppose, unlike how they perceive these other communities. And so, you know, this legislation was put out there to save these white communities, essentially, from having to deal with an emergency manager. And when they finally passed the law, they had to rejigger it because the first two times they failed. So they included schools, and they made it so that it didn't just include debt from these what they call SADs, or these special assessment districts that were created in Livingston County. And they finally got it passed. And then they also got Mark Wymette, who's my state legislator, and Al Pasholka, who's the father of the emergency manager law, to sign on to it this time. And sure enough, as soon as that law passed, the first groups that were out there with their hands out were Pasholka's group in Benton Harbor, and more importantly, Cindy Denby's Handy Township. I did find out, did all my research this morning, Handy Township has been turned down for their bid for their loans. So they are still in a world of hurt out there, and, you know, it makes you wonder, will they be considered for an emergency manager if they can't pay their bills?
I'm going to take a guess.
I'm sure they'll figure something out, right? Cause that's
I'm sure they will figure something out. You know, you mentioned Al Pasholka. I think that, you know, you recently did an interview with his opponent, and it's one of these, you know, it's another one of these, and I because I've been doing a lot of speaking, as you know, lately, I run into a lot of candidates, and I get a lot of that, well, I'm told I can't win. This guy's been also told he can't win.
Yeah, Jim Hahn, who's running against Pasholka, has been told that, I'm sure, but I can guarantee you he is not believing that. He was only 6,000 votes short of beating Cruz when he ran for that position. He was Pasholka's predecessor, and he's now in the state Senate. But he was only 6,000 votes short, and Pasholka is not a well-liked guy like Cruz was. Pasholka rubs people the wrong way, and he is voted the wrong way in a lot of different areas. And you'll see in the interview that I put up this morning that, you know, Khan really believes that he's got a shot at this. And I think he does, too. I think that the demographics have changed a bit on the left side and that people are sick and tired of what the Republicans are doing to communities. You know, they've raised taxes on the middle class. They've raised taxes on seniors. Pashoka was, you know, he voted for this law that, you know, makes it easier to develop the dunes, which is a really critical, of critical importance to people on the lakeshore there in Lake Michigan. You know, and of course this emergency manager law has got a lot of people fired up. And, you know, basically the emergency manager law was written by Al Pashoka, and it was the first thing that he did as soon as he got elected as a state legislator.
Well,
so I think he's got a chance. I really do, and I hope that he gets the support that he needs. He's a real solid friend of labor, and he's a smart, smart guy. If you look at some of the videos on his website, you know, he's a real asset to us state legislators.
Well, you know, these are the kind of things, these are the kind of races, these are the kinds of issues that we obviously need to continue to talk and educate people about. You know, when we talk about Public Act 4, those that are under these dictator-type situations are intimately familiar, and people don't understand their outrage because they don't live in those communities. If you live in those communities, you would. There's nothing more offensive than electing a mayor and a council only to have that power taken away. And by no means does anybody vote for somebody with the idea that at some point in their tenure they will become ineffective and told, we don't need your leadership anymore. No one ever votes with that as part of their agenda. Chris, these are just basic democratic rights that have been aborted. And I just find it so interesting for a group that doesn't believe in abortion. They certainly seem to abort everything else.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more on that. And I think that, I don't wish an emergency manager on any community. But I've always thought that it would take, you know, perhaps a white community getting one. And now that we have that with Allen Park, I think that that kind of thing might be what it takes to wake up some of the people in these other communities who think it can't happen to them. They think it's only for these poor black communities, for example, like Penn Harbor and Flint and Pontiac and on and on. But that's not the case, you know, and unless Cindy Denby and Rogers and some of these other people have their way, some of these other majority white communities are going to start facing the piper on this stuff. And they're going to wake up and they're going to realize that, you know, democracy should be for all times, not just for when it's convenient. And, you know, I really hope that the Allen Park thing, which is like a 90%+ white community, now has an emergency manager or will soon. You know, maybe that'll be enough to wake some of these people up before the election.
Well, you know, Chris, let's go back to Cindy Denby and Bill Rogers, as you pointed out a little earlier in the interview. This new legislation that took them three times to pass really is about them covering up their own asses. These are the mistakes that they made. If you weren't clear enough about that, I want to make sure we are. They're trying to cover up the mistakes they made when they had a direct hand in the finances in the communities that they represent.
That's right.
You know, so that's why it's, you know, when the money gets turned down in Handy Township, it kind of puts the spotlight back on someone that didn't want it.
Well, that's, you know, the justification for Public Act 4 is that, oh, these communities are just mismanaged. You know, they don't know how to govern on their own. They're, you know, they need the big brother to step in the form of a state-appointed dictator to come in and show them how it's done. Well, this is a classic example of Republican leaders mismanaging things, and, you know, they don't want to have to face those kind of consequences. That's not for Livingston County, apparently.
Well, you know, these are the kinds of things, and then as we have to throw the race element in there. And folks, it's just a sad reality. I'm not the one that created the laws. I'm not the one that imposed this Public Act 4 on these communities. For that, you have to look to the governors and I always want to call them the traitor, the treasurer's office. I know it's so bad. I got to stop doing that. But, you know, you've got to look to the governor in the treasurer's office for those answers. And the bottom line is they have gone after communities of color predominantly. And I'm sorry, I can't believe that in every community, in Flint and Benton Harbor and Pontiac and Detroit, that this is all because black people are running the show.
Well, talk to Flint. I mean, Dane Walling's about as unblack as you can get, and he's a smart guy, and he's done a lot of work, good work up there. But you know, he truly was a victim of circumstance, the crumbling infrastructure, the flight out of the, you know, the aging urban, you know, communities and stuff like that. I mean, he's trying to rebuild with very, very little tools, and now he's got an emergency manager in there with a wrecking ball that's in there to cut and destroy and cut back rather than try to build. And I think that's the biggest argument against emergency managers in my mind is the fact that they are not armed with any tools of construction. It's all tools of destruction and cutting. So
absolutely,
we need to start arming these guys with something where they can start building back the cities that, you know, that we should be cherishing.
Well, it starts on November 6th. Chris, thank you. We're going to get everything up on the Facebook page at collectiblog.com. We'll take the break. Be back on the other side.
With Tony Triano.
The blind trust is an age-old ruse, if you will, which is to say you can always tell the blind trust what it can and cannot do. You give a blind trust rule.
On 1310. WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Today's deal, Novi Ice Arena, 59% off. Go to SweetJack.com for ice skating and hot chocolate at Novi Ice Arena.
Sweet Jack, now that's a real sweet deal.
SweetJack.com.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together, until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members, a place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen, be heard, take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show. Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595. Welcome back to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back indeed. 10 minutes before 9 o'clock. By the way, we've got an amazing 9 o'clock hour, so make sure you stay tuned. For that, we are going to be open lines at the top of the hour, so give us a call now if there's something on your mind, 888-552-3595. And I want to thank Chris Savage, as always, truly one of the smartest people I know. I mean, the guy is just incredibly intelligent, and I often call him a citizen journalist. Nothing would make me happier than for him to be able to do this full time. Not that I'm sure he's not excellent at his job. I just think he would better serve all of us if he could be a full-time writer. I'm just being honest with you. Our song of the day, Dire Straits, Money for Nothing. Go check it out on the Facebook page. We also have our poll up for today on Facebook. Kid Rock will be introducing Paul Ryan this afternoon. Does it change your perception of him, and in what way? The options are at the Facebook page on Facebook, obviously, and just search for First Shift to find it. If you have yet to like it and you would like to do that, please feel free. I do want to tell you that of the many things I have coming up over the next few weeks, and I have been one busy guy, but always have time for you. So if you're looking for somebody to come speak at your event, feel free to let me know. And I'll get to that in just a second. But on Saturday evening, October 20th, from 6 to 9 o'clock, I will be hosting a very special evening called the Supreme Challenge. It is through the Michigan Coordinated Campaign. It's an effort to move forward. It Takes Three is the name of the event, 2012 fundraiser. Again, it's on Saturday, October 20th, from 6 to 9 o'clock at the McKay Estate on Orchard Lake. The address is 3131 Bayshore Drive, again in Orchard Lake. And if you would like to go, you can buy tickets at the door, or you can send a check or money order, and I will post the addresses for this stuff on Facebook for those of you that might be interested in going. But the three Supreme Court nominees from the Democratic side of the ticket anyway will be at this event on Saturday evening from 6 to 9 o'clock. I'm very much looking forward to going and honored that they asked. I also want to remind you that on the 19th, which is the night before, I will be the MC at a fundraiser for the Community Democratic Club, comdemsclub@yahoo.com, if you'd like to go to that. By the way, that's a very popular event. It sells out every year, so if you would like to go to that, you need to get your tickets early, and we'll talk more about that as we work our way through the week. But we do have a lot of stuff going on and are keeping busy. In fact, on the 19th, I have two things, and then on the 20th, I have two things, and yada, 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 yada. I'm happy to do it. I'm happy that I was at the Redford Theater last night with Joseph Black and the wonderful group of people that were there. Saturday night with LaPierre Democrats. Last Thursday night, Joe and I were at the UFCW Hall with the Stewart, Union Stewart's Appreciation Dinner. If you would like me, and then this Thursday, I will be in Ypsilanti for Working America as they celebrate 100,000, and they're now over that, 100,000 members, and we want to help them celebrate that. Again, all of this stuff, by the way, can be found on our website at thetonyshow.org. All you have to do is look at my schedule, and you can see where I'm going to be. I've made an extra effort to make sure to, A, keep it updated, and, B, to let you know if it's a public or private event. Some of these are membership only, especially union meetings are membership only. So I've tried to be very careful to make sure that I post who can get in and, you know, how you get in and all that good stuff. So go check that out. But if you would like me to speak at your event, if you'd like me to speak at your union meeting, your Democratic club, heck, if you're a Republican and want me to come speak, as long as I can have security, we're happy to do it. As long as we've got time on the calendar, we're happy to come out and speak to you. Just send me an email, tony@thetonyshow.org, tony@thetonyshow.org, and I'll be happy to get you in. As long as we've got time, we certainly have the desire. I also want to point out, I do not charge, and I get this question a lot. I do not charge to come speak at events. This is something that I enjoy doing. It's something that I'm happy to do. I feel it's an extension of the whole point of doing this program, is to get people engaged, and it would be disingenuous of me at this point. Now, maybe one day when I'm a big shot, who knows? We'll see. But right now, I'm not a big shot. I'm just a guy that has a microphone in front of his face 4 hours every morning. So let me know if you want me to come speak at your event. And as long as I've got the time, I'm more than happy to accommodate you. 888-552-3595 if you care to join us. We've only got a couple minutes left. For those of you that haven't had a chance to see it, I posted to the Facebook page yesterday, a lot of stuff yesterday, but there's a letter from an 8-year-old girl who wrote Mitt Romney after hearing that Mr. Romney wanted to get rid of Big Bird, and she's not happy. Somebody had posted, and I believe it was our good friend Jeannie, who is just such a sweetheart. In fact, it was Jeannie, that children should not be getting involved in politics at 8 years old. I don't mind if they show up to rallies. I don't mind if they go with mom and dad to the polling place. But they shouldn't have to be worrying about things like, will Big Bird go away? Now, some jackrabbit on the Facebook page says, well, what makes you think if PBS goes away, so will Sesame Street? Well, that's not the point, is it? Some people are just terribly unhappy. You shouldn't be worrying 8-year-olds about issues like this. I think that that's pretty clear. And it's just kind of broke my heart. So anyway, if you want to read the letter, just go over to the Facebook page and you'll find it easily enough. It's just very sad that an 8-year-old has to write Mitt Romney and ask him to leave Big Bird alone because that's how they learn. Imagine that, Mitt. That's how they learn. Maybe you can learn something from an 8-year-old. God knows I do all the time. I don't know what all the chuckling in there is about, but you guys are the 8-year-olds I learned from. So we'll leave it at that. All right, let's take a quick break here. But before we do that, I got to remind you, once again, Paul Ryan, out at Oakland University. The event kicks off at 7:30 this evening. So, folks, if you would like to go, I don't know, throw out some raspberries, might be a good chance to get out there. Let's do it. All right, a quick break here. We'll come back. Lots of good stuff in the next hour. Stay with us.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Not doing too bad on your rush hour commute. We do have one accident. It's on 94 eastbound at 14 mile, and it's blocking your right shoulder. And we got slow traffic on 696 westbound between DeQuinder and Cousins. Also slow going on 94 westbound between Chalmers and Shane. And slow moving on US 23 southbound between Silver Lake Road and Barker Road. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be partly cloudy and 55. Tonight, a low of 40. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and 62, and it's currently 38 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today. Sweet.